Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Good evening from Van Dyke Field. Homecoming festivities have just kicked off, and the king himself, Drake Sykes, kicks it into the end zone, and United Township trots out onto the field to take the first play of the game. A little swing pass to the outside, a little lateral moving to the outside. Let's see if the officials even credit as a catch or not. If it's a catch, it's a loss. And UT loses a yard on first down. So that's how this game begins after Sykes' opening kickoff. Juggled a little bit by Elijah Ellis back at the one-yard line. It went off his shoulder pads and back into the end zone. So we are underway. Galesburg, 3-1 on the season, 1-0 in the Western Big Six Conference, playing against the United Township Panthers, and the Streaks defense swarms on top of Cody Roman, running left to right, trying to get to the outside. He doesn't make it. And another loss on second down, and very quickly the Streaks bringing up third and long against this Panthers defense on a homecoming night, which the Silver Streaks are hoping can, at least judging by how the first four games have gone for both of these teams, they would like to think that they're the team that has the advantage coming into this one and maybe don't have to play one right down to the final 15 seconds of the game as they've done the past few weeks. Jim Lee is down on the sidelines for us, as always, here at Van Dyke Field. We'll check in with him momentarily, as on third and a long 10, the handoff goes up the middle, and the Streaks respond well. The Panthers gain a couple on third down, and just like that, they are going to have to punt into a fairly good northerly breeze. Jim, what are things like down on the field?
Yeah, I don't think the breeze quite as strong as it was when we got here during the sophomore game, but there's still a little bit of a breeze, and it's definitely getting colder down here. Already some of the players blowing on their hands a little bit as they try and get warmed up, and here we go with the kick.
So let's see how they can get it away. The rush is on, a very high kick, and the wind is going to prevent that one from going real deep. It takes a UT bounce, though, in their own territory and bounces into Galesburg territory, but the Streaks still have great field position at the 10:33 mark of the first quarter at their own 41-yard line. Streaks couldn't have drawn that one up any better to start off this game, because they have taken the ball each of the last two games on offense on the first possession and have gone three plays and out on their own, and that's exactly what they forced the Panthers to do on this first possession of the night.
Yeah, and UT tried a little bit of everything. They go with the swing pass. That didn't work. They ran wide the other way. That lost them a yard or two, and then they just tried to plow up the middle, which is kind of unorthodox on third and 10. Didn't get anything there, so Streaks defense up to the task. Let's see what the offense has on their first possession.
A little offset eye with Mixon and Trevon Diggins in the backfield behind Peyton Isaacson, and Mixon takes a handoff, gains 5 on first down, up to the 46-yard line. Our regional report brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. One of three Western Big Six games on the schedule tonight also finds Moline at Rock Island. Alleman plays host to Quincy. Kind of a weird setup the way things have gone. And, you know, it's just one of those oddities of the schedule, how they work out sometimes. The two 0-1 teams are all playing the 1-0 teams after the first week of the season on the 1-0 team's home field tonight. So if you believe in home field advantage, then it initially sets up what looks like 3-2-0 and 3-0-2 teams. Holloway bounces to the outside. He's got the first down in UT territory. Stays on his feet inside the 45-yard line. Finally run out just along the sideline at about the 41. A good gain on first down by Ben Holloway.
Yeah, Holloway able to break away from one tackle and then tried to turn that corner. Got a little bit of extra, but Lucas Blee came over, defensive back from UT. Really put a good shot on him over here along the Silver Streak sideline, but not before Holloway could turn what could have been a loss of yards into a first down.
Gains 13 on the play for the sophomore. Ben Holloway, two plays and a first down. Galesburg in Panther territory. On the move at the 41-yard line. We're just underway in the first quarter on homecoming. Handoff to Mixon, trying to work his way across right tackle. Tripped up inside the 40-yard line, down to the 37. Elsewhere tonight in the Prairie Land Conference, Abingdon trying to go 3-0 in the black division is at South Fulton tonight. BPC Avon at home against North Fulton. Peoria Heights takes its 2-0 record to Lewistown this evening in the Prairie Land Blue. Knoxville, boy, what a matchup for the Blue Bullets tonight. They are at home. They've got Elmwood Brimfield in town. Farmington also unbeaten on the year at Havana, and a good matchup there. Rushville Industry plays host to Beardstown. On second and seven, now Isaacson steps back, directs Holloway to line back up, along with Mixon in the backfield after a gain of three. And flags fly as this play just gets underway. Also around the area tonight in the Lincoln Trail, Mid-County is at Mercer County. Tough matchup for Mid-County, to say the least, with Mercer County 4-0 in the season. United takes its 3-1 record to West Central. Stark County is at River Valley. Princeville travels to Richwood. And West Central is at Wethersfield Annawan. In the West Central Conference, Monmouth-Roseville entertains Pittsfield, Griggsville, Perry tonight. Macomb is at Sherrard. Rockridge plays host to Illini West. What a matchup there. West Hancock at Orion. Princeton has a non-conference game at home against Taylorville. After a five-yard penalty against the Silver Streaks, the handoff goes to Mixon. Finds an opening across left tackle. Gains the yardage back inside the 35 down to the 33-yard line. And the Streaks will have third and short coming up here.
Good to see Derek Brackett out there. You know, we saw up at Moline last week. He had was down there for a while, and they were looking at that knee. But he's back out, and he's probably got the toughest assignment of the night. He's right across from Avery Pearl. Pearl is the big 6'7", 330-pounder for United Township. And while Derek is not small, he's 6'5", and goes about 230, 240. He's given away a lot of size to the big kid.
On third and three for the Silver Streaks, handoff to the right side. Mixon bumps into Peyton Isaacson, dives forward to the 30-yard line. And depending on where the officials say the knee is down, that's going to be right at the first down marker. They're going to spot the ball just short of the 30, but I think that'll be enough. They're looking all the way across the field toward the home side, and the referee says, let's bring the chains out.
We were talking about Avery Pearl for East Moline, and for those Silver Streak fans that may go to some of the basketball games and might have seen him the last couple of years, it's hard to miss him out there on the basketball court. He's just such a big kid. But they're saying that it looks like he's probably going to forego the basketball this year and continue to focus on football and trying to get ready for a possible a Division I offer, and he's certainly got a Division I frame. There's no question about that.
Chains come out. They plant it down at the first down spot, stretch it out, and the Streaks got it by the entire length of the football. With the nose sitting just short of the 30-yard line, Streaks with a new set of downs. Haven't been very good on third down so far this year, only 36% conversion rate, but Streaks were great last week at Moline when they converted 6 of 11 third downs, and they get off to a good start here, converting on their first third down opportunity. From the 30-yard line, we've played 4 minutes here in the opening quarter. The Panthers punted on their opening possession. This is Galesburg's first offensive possession. Ben Holloway hopped from the wingback spot. Now he gets to the outside, cutting from right to left, breaks free into the open field, finally dragged down in the UT secondary, still on his feet. Somehow he prevented the knee from going down. He's all the way down inside the 5-yard line before he's finally tackled.
Great hustle and pursuit of the play, because otherwise that's a turnover. But the guys coming behind Holloway weren't just assuming that he was going to go ahead and get in the end zone. Manny Valdez, I believe the one that recovered it down here, he's been Johnny on the spot a number of times early in this season, but now we've got a flag and it's all coming back.
So that negates the big play. But a holding penalty back at the line of scrimmage will make it first and 20. Second penalty against the Silver Streaks already, a team that has played very clean football through the first four games of the season, haven't picked up more than four penalties in a game all year long, at least the ones that were accepted anyway.
Well, at least from what we've seen in the first offensive formations, though, you got to figure it may not be too long before we're back down near the goal line again. We're dominating along the line of scrimmage, and Holloway's turned into be a much better runner than many people thought as a sophomore.
Just outside the UT 40, handoff goes up the middle. That one goes nowhere. So just like that, Streaks are going to be facing second and 20 now. Mixon got stuffed the line of scrimmage for no gain.
Well, I doubt that we'll see too many times that we just go straight at off of our right side or the left side of the UT line, because that's where Pearl is. You're gonna try and do some sort of misdirection or cross in there. You don't want to just run right at the big kid.
O'Brien Allen has that assignment. The toss, Trevon Diggins running to the short side of the field, trying to get to the corner, but he can't do it. He's run out of bounds across the 40 to about the 37-yard line. Diggins' first carry of the game, that's three, and it'll bring up third and 17 for the Silver Streaks from the Panther 37-yard line. Want to set the starting lineup for you for the Silver Streaks. Peyton Isaacson, the sophomore quarterback, in it his fifth game of the year. Jonathan Mixon, of course, the fullback, leading all Western Big Six Conference rushers coming into this game. Trevon Diggins, Ben Holloway, the wingbacks. Michael Moss, the wideout, who had the huge interception out of the defensive back position to save the game last week at Moline. On third and 17, the handoff to Mixon trying to get to the outside. UT read it perfectly. Mixon never had a chance to bounce to the outside and get some running room, and it's fourth down.
Yeah, can't think that went exactly what we wanted, as Mixon didn't have any blocking at all. He just ran into two Panthers, including number 57, Coleman Briggs, one of the linebackers for United Township. Had no trouble zeroing in on Mixon that time, and we're actually going to punt this thing away at, what, about the 38?
Drake Sykes standing all the way back at his own 48-yard line. Good snap, steps to his right, no rush, and he'll get that punt up into the wind and watch it sail 3 yards deep into the end zone, and the Panthers will have it at their own 20 with 6:14 to go here in this opening quarter.
Now, you don't often see Coach Doherty punt when the ball's inside the 40, but I think just the distance that we had to go to get to the first down marker, he just felt like even if we kick it in the zone, that trade-off of the yards is still probably a better thing than trying to make a fourth and long, especially this early in the ball game.
Nick Pearson, the starting quarterback for the Panthers, a 6'1", 165-pound senior. His running backs are Cody Vroman, a 5'8", 160-pound junior. Clayton Kelly, a 5'11", 200-pound senior, who scored all of the rushing touchdowns so far this year. Handoff goes to the right side. Not much there initially, but then a little push forward by the UT offensive line. Nets a few more yards for Vroman on first down. The wideout, Zach Harris, 5'9", 150 junior. Dalton Oaks, a 6'2", 185-pound junior. And what you do notice in the UT starting lineup is on both sides of the ball, really, is a fair number of juniors there. So Coach Ron Litchfield trying to get things in place to build this program back up. On second and seven, handoff to the right side. Roman bounces to the outside, found a hole. He's into the secondary, and he's got a first down up to the Panther 37-yard line.
Yeah, Roman not a powerful kid at all, but slippery, as he showed on that play. Just somebody had him on their hip pad, but he was able to slide off, and then he's got quick acceleration, was able to pick up a first down. Brad, I've got part of my eye on the game, and my other eye is to the north. They've got the lights on the baseball field. I don't know that I've ever seen that before during a Streaks football game.
See if we can find out why. Toss into the backfield. They're going to go with Roman again. He's wrapped up from the backside. A flag comes down as the Streaks are trying to strip it out of there. I think we're going to have a face mask against the Silver Streaks, judging by we were shielded from it up here, but just looking by the way Roman went down. Yep, it's going to be a personal foul against the Silver Streaks. So, Galesburg not playing clean football in this early going.
My hunch on the baseball lights is that Arnie Gonzalez was so excited over the Cubs' comeback win over the Cardinals this afternoon that he's probably decided to call a practice and get things started for the spring with his baseball team.
You were going to work that in one way or another, weren't you? Booger. All right, new set of downs for the Panthers. Now in Galesburg territory at the 49-yard line after the personal foul penalty. And the quarterback and the running back run into each other on the exchange, and the Streaks are in the backfield, and absolutely no chance whatsoever for Vroman to do anything with it as he took the handoff from Pearson.
Yeah, all Manny Valdez had to do was just finish off that play. The Panthers
show up.
pretty well destroyed it themselves, and he just came over and slammed into the ground.
So they cross the 50 back into their own territory. Panthers have it with the nose of the football just short of their own 49-yard line. Mac Fulton, the tight end for the Panthers at 6'2", 200, will set the offensive line for you momentarily. on second and 12. Pearson rolling out after the play fake. Little dump pass down into the flat. It's caught, running forward and pushing forward all the way to the first down marker. Clayton Kelly, the fullback, with the reception and the first down inside the Galesburg 40 to the 38.
Kelly, a solid kid. The fullback goes 5'11 and 200. Looks a little, even a little heavier than that with full pads on. And I think that was Matt Kitch's thought as well. He was bracing himself. Kitch pretty well stationary there trying to make the tackle. And, of course, Kelly had a full head of steam. And Kitch needed some help from his teammates, two of which came over and helped him out and finally drove the big kid out of bounds.
Gain of 14 on the play. Second pass completion of the night for Pearson. Handoff straight up the middle. Streets read it defensively, and they are through for a loss of a couple. Maybe, well, we'll call it just a loss of a yard on first down, but absolutely no chance for United Township. Valdez again. Looks like, who else was in on that one?
Ryden was the...
Was it Ryden?
Yeah, yep. He had both arms wrapped around there, and Jacob looking for a big night. We'll need his strength up front. In fact, he's one of the guys that's running into Pearl, who's moved over on the right side of the, of course, the offensive line.
Well, they're actually going to say back to the line of scrimmage, so no gain on first down. Bouncing to the outside, Vroman finds a seam, breaks free, downfield, and he's going to outrun everybody. Touchdown, Panthers!
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm standing behind the play as they hand it off, and I thought that hole really wasn't that big. I thought, he'll get 3-4 yards maybe. And then he just, as we said, he's got good acceleration, got through that line, and then cut back up the middle, and nobody laid a hand on him after that. And Vroman's speed got him the touchdown and the early lead.
So the Panthers strike first at the 3:43 mark of this first quarter. In for the extra point attempt, Lewis Hill, just a sophomore, handling the extra point duties. Good snap, good hold. The kick is up and good, and the Panthers take a 7-0 lead. 3:43 to go, first quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL. Glenn Beck, weekday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
3:43 to go, first quarter. A six-play scoring drive covering 80 yards for the United Township Panthers. They take just 2 minutes and 31 seconds off the clock. Cody Vroman with a 37-yard touchdown run. Got 54 yards rushing already. And the Panthers lead it 7-0. So the Silver Streaks, see how resilient they can be. They've been resilient all season long in a 3-1 start, but they fall behind early to a team that's been blown out in each of its last three games, and they come out and strike big here in this opening quarter. The kick, a short one, into the wind. The Streaks have to run up on it. It bounces. It's a live ball, and all Galesburg can do is step back, pick it up at the 22-yard line, and finally pushed all the way backwards inside the 20. And that one was not effective for the Silver Streaks. It bounced just over the head of Matt Kitch, and he kind of had to turn around and realize that the ball was sitting about 3 yards behind him. He ran back and picked it up, and by then the Panthers were on top of it. Galesburg has it at the 22, 3:38 to go in this first quarter.
Got a text from Tom Meredith, says that at the half, Peoria Notre Dame leads Richwood 17-14. Notre Dame scoring 2 touchdowns in less than 7 seconds in the final minute of the half.
Really?
Yeah. To take that that lead into the locker room.
Peyton Isaacson resetting the Galesburg offense. Brian Allen lines up as a tight end from right to left, and the handoff goes right to Jonathan Mixon, bounces off some defenders up across the 35 to the 38-yard line. Good pickup on first down for Jonathan, a gain of 16. Our contestant here in the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest in this opening quarter. Good luck to Andy Varner of Galesburg. If the Streaks can score a touchdown here in this final 3 minutes and 31 seconds of quarter number one, Andy wins a $10 gift certificate to Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And gets entered into the drawing at the end of the season for a $10 gift certificate as well. I'm sorry, for a party sip at the end of the year. It's a $10 gift certificate. If the Streaks can get the touchdown. Hand off to Ben Holloway. He goes nowhere, trying to bounce to the outside left for no gain on first down.
You know, this United Township defense, which looked a little suspect after we'd run five or six plays, has solidified. They've kind of gotten the feel for the game. Maybe they just needed to get a little warmer out here on a cold night. Coleman Briggs with a tackle that time, a good solid tackle on Holloway, who was trying to break free on the left. And so looking at second and nine, I guess you could probably hear Gary Mitchell say that, our public address announcer, like coming in loud and clear over here on the Streak sideline.
Beautiful night here at Van Dyke Field, but the Streaks trail early here at homecoming. The toss to Diggins, gets to the short side, gets into UT territory, turned around backwards, run out of bounds inside the Panther 45 down to the 42-yard line. Good gain for Trevon. They broke him free to the outside, and even on the short side of the field, he still manages to advance at 19 yards to the 42.
You know, Cody Vroman, who scored the touchdown for the Panthers, showed us his quick acceleration. Well, we've got a guy that can do it on our own, and that is the one that just ran at Trevon Diggins. He's going to have a huge night one of these nights. Maybe this will be it. A good start for him on his first carry and a big run.
2:34 to go is where the clock stops as Diggins got knocked out of bounds. 7-0 Panthers. Galesburg sophomores were winners tonight, their first win of the year. Handoff left. Mixon finds a hole. Breaks forward across the 35-yard line. And a little spurt forward at the very end after an initial hit or two, and he's into first down territory down to the 31. So Jonathan gains 11 more.
And Mixon continues to run low to the ground to pick up those extra yards after he's hit, able to keep that leg drive and keep parallel to the ground, and picks up a few extra before he finally sticks the ball down.
Jonathan up to 50 yards rushing already in the game. We've played 9 minutes and 40 seconds in this opening quarter. Galesburg on the move, trailing 7-0. Hand off to Diggins. Slowed down in the backfield, now gets across the line of scrimmage, wrapped up and thrown down at about the 27. Diggins picks up three on first down. And the Streaks continue to advance a little deeper into Panther territory. Call it a gain of, almost five on first down.
Well, Peyton Isaacson continues to get a good workout, as quarterbacks do, hustling over to talk to Coach Tim Doherty after the play to get it, bring it back in. Streaks, we thought last week, we're in pretty good condition in the fourth quarter, but that we were just kind of hanging on there as we had so many guys going two ways against that Moline 2 platoon system. But we really got a workout in that one.
Mixing the lone setback. They give it to Holloway, trying to get to the outside. He's strung up, but he does get the corner down inside the 20-yard line. Finally pulled down inside the 10, and the Streaks have first and goal.
Going to tack on half the distance to the goal, which isn't much left, but an official going to say a late hit out of bounds here, personal foul on the Panthers. So he was marked out at the 9, so we'll be well inside the 5.
Gain of 17 for Ben Holloway on the play. He's already up to 30 yards rushing now on just 3 carries. And with a minute 29 to go in the first quarter, Galesburg trailing 7-0, but a first and goal. We'll push them after the personal foul penalty down to about the 5, probably just inside the 5-yard line. They are going to spot it with the tail of the football sitting just on the 5. Early 7-0 lead for Alleman over Quincy. Adam Hoogerwerf, a 7-yard touchdown pass from quarterback John Tracy. We'll see those number one Pioneers next week. Isaacson spins, hands off to the right. The pile moves forward close to the goal line. Will Mixon get across? Doesn't look like it. Yard short, Jim, you've got a better angle at it.
About an inch and a half short. You know, you just knew Mixon had to be in there. You saw the pile moving and it kept going towards the goal line, and you figured that had to be the leg drive of Mixon driving that thing up in there, and somehow they finally shoved his face down just ahead of the goal line. But figure one more handoff to him or maybe even a Peyton Isaacson dive, and Streaks should get this thing tied up here.
Rock Island leads Moline 6-0 in the first quarter. Maroons desperately needing a victory. On second and goal, outside the one, or just inside the 1-yard line, Peyton Isaacson with a quarterback sneak. He's got the touchdown.
Barely made it across. We're standing right on the goal line, and Official had to think about it for a minute because he barely crossed and then he got pushed back. But I think he did just barely get across there. And so Isaacson doing it the safe way, not risking a handoff on that. And the Streaks, as we talked about, have had a much improved kicking game, especially since the Morton game in week two. We'll try and tie it up right here.
43.6 seconds is all that remains on the first quarter clock, but that's more than enough time. Andy Varner of Galesburg, a winner in our Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest. The kick by Tanner Laird is good, and we're tied at 7 with just under 44 seconds to go in this first quarter. An 8-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks covers 78 yards. So the Panthers went 80 yards in 6 plays. Silver Streaks come right back 78 yards in 8 plays. And they take exactly 3 minutes off the clock to tie it up on the Isaacson 1-yard run.
I had trouble getting used to the band is in the south end zone now. They used to have them on the north side of the big bleachers, but now playing out of the south stands over here. And, of course, the Streaks were going right towards that goal line, so they were able to get a good look at that touchdown. Now, when we score on the other end, they're going to need binoculars to see what's going on.
All right, Elijah Ellis will go deep as one of the return men for the Panthers. He showed some real quickness on the opening kickoff that went his direction. Devin Willman is the other deep man. Now they kind of line up behind each other and then split out again. So Ellis to the left, Willman to the right. And Will, homecoming king, Drake Sykes, even give either one of them a chance to return this one with the wind at his back. The senior has a terrific leg. And he loves kicking it into the end zone. He'll be the first to tell you that. The kick toward the corner, and Ellis watches it go over his head and bounce into the end zone. So sure enough, no return, and the Panthers, for the third time in the game, start a drive from their own 20.
We've wiped the slate clean pretty much after the first quarter here. The Streaks kicked off and gave up a touchdown, got a touchdown, and this kickoff was almost an exact carbon copy, same spot and everything as the initial kickoff. I feel like it's Groundhog Day here. And UT will start off with the game tied, not at 0, but at 7 here as they open their possession.
Rest of the Panthers' offensive line, Nick Holland, a 6'2", 225-pound junior, Tanner Schult at 5'9", 160, a senior, Coleman Briggs, 6'3", 180, a junior, so not tremendous size for the Panthers on the offensive line, and the defensive line for the Silver Streaks takes advantage of it there. In fact, Mixon from the defensive end helped stuff it from getting to the outside. And Avery Pearl, the one X factor on that line for the Panthers, at 6'7", 330. Gain of just a yard on first down.
Yeah, Hawkins and Ryden really clogging things up that time. And the guy that ran for the touchdown before that had all sorts of room up the middle on his last carry had absolutely nothing there. He just turned his back into the pile and settled for, what did he give, maybe a yard?
Yep. And the Panthers aren't even going to run a second play. They'll wait till the second quarter. One quarter gone. Homecoming at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg 7, United Township 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
All is well, falling, and so are prices at Farm King. Fix up your favorite autumn recipes with Lodge cast iron cookware. Check out work and play denim jeans for guys and gals as low as $6.99. And these are key days. Save big on jeans, bibs, and chambray shirts. And don't forget the key bibs for kids at Farm King. Into the workshop and take 20% off Freud router bits and saw blades and 15% off Titan hex head sockets. Check out the Genesis floor drill press, too. Prices are falling now at Farm King.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
One quarter gone at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg 7, United Township 7. Panthers have the ball facing a 2nd and 9 from their own 21-yard line as we begin the second quarter. I want to remind you, coming up at halftime, Jim Lee caught up with Streaks girls swim coach Ray Van Ottegem. We'll hear from him coming up at halftime. And another terrific year for the swimmers, Jim. Ought to be a good one. Look forward to hearing what Coach Ray has to say.
Yeah, they've had such a terrific season. I think even better than they thought so far to this point. And a lot of upside for an underclassman-dominated team. They've got a nice mix of experience and youth on that team. And look forward to hearing from Coach Van Ottegem. And He's been at, I can't believe he's been doing this for 20 years. He doesn't look like he could be 20 years head coach, does he?
No, he certainly doesn't.
Well, he was telling me it was Superhero Day yesterday. He had on his Superman shirt, and he told me that you had a little something going on, too.
That was a fun day here at the high school. A handoff goes up the middle. Absolutely nowhere to go for the Panthers. The Streaks just absolutely stuffed the run on second and down. It'll bring up third and nine. Yeah, he was very happy to, you know, he had his button-down shirt on and his tie and everything. But, you know, if you didn't look closely enough, you didn't notice that a couple of the middle buttons were undone. So he just pulled him open to reveal the big Superman S right underneath.
As Clark Kent would do?
Yep.
Although he didn't have a phone booth to do it in.
No.
Now, I told him, you're a huge Batman fan. I figured you'd have to have your Batman on, but I don't think you did you?
No, I absolutely had my Batman shirt on. Quick swing pass to the outside. That'll be enough for Vroman to get a little bit of running room, but the Streaks force him out of bounds just across the 25 at about the 26. Nice little diving effort by Ben Holloway, and that forced Vroman to sidestep, and his momentum took him out of bounds at the 26 for a gain of 6, and that's 4 yards short of the third down. So out comes the punt unit with the Panthers kicking with the wind at their back for the first time.
Well, after the initial shock of that touchdown run by the Panthers in the early lead, things are settling in here a little bit now. The Streaks have got even and got a stop. You like the way this game is moving here early in the second quarter now.
11:15, we're just underway in the second quarter. Streaks put the rush on and a very short kick, but the wind will help push it downfield and out of bounds. And the official's going to walk this up to about the 40-yard line. He's going to say it's out right at the 41. So the Streaks, again, good field position with 11:09 to go in this first half. Danny Darst of Galesburg, good luck to you, our Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contestant here in quarter number two. Galesburg and United Township tied at 7. If the Streaks can score a touchdown and the remaining 11 minutes and 9 seconds of this second quarter, Danny Darst of Galesburg wins a $10 gift certificate at Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Even had Trevon Diggins come up with that ball, receiving it on a punt, he would have had no blocking. We loaded everybody on the line and went after that one. Diggins up back there all by himself wisely just said, nah, let her bounce.
Out of the offset eye, a little bit of penetration, but Diggins gets to the outside. He's got a lead blocker. He gets up to the far side of the field and dragged down out of bounds in Panther territory at the 41-yard line. Big gain of 18 on first down for Diggins.
Yeah, that one was coming right at us over here on the Silver Streaks sidelines, and as he swept around that corner, you know, if I'm a defender, I'm pretty nervous because he's so agile and he's so quick. I would not want to have to be out in the open field and be the last man between the line. That would be a pretty tough assignment.
Trevon carried the ball 10 times for just 11 yards against Moline last week. He's already up to 44 yards on 4 carries here tonight against the Panthers. From the UT 42, Mixon bounces off his own man, tries to cut back to the middle of the field, and he dives forward close to the 30-yard line for another first down. Heck of a run by Jonathan Mixon. He was trying to get to the outside, but it looked like he ran right into O'Brien Allen. So Jonathan cut it back toward the middle of the field, and that allowed him to gain at least 5 more yards down to the 31.
Yeah, good analysis, because he was picking his way through there. He had several options, and he did want to get that outside because that's usually where you're going to make some bigger yardage, but just not able to get out there, still able to pick up another 5 or 6, just bowling his way up inside.
First down from the Panther 31. Uh-oh. Isaacson drops the ball, and he has to dive back for it on the 41 and pounds his fist into the turf, frustrated that he couldn't make the connection on that one. So the Streaks go backwards on this first down back to the 41.
I looked over at our coaching staff, assistant coach Kelly Kane turned around and had something to say. He was pretty frustrated by that one. You hate to back up when you're moving the ball forward with such regularity here and give yourself now a second down. Gosh, we lost almost 10 yards on that.
Yep, second and 18 now coming up. Still 7-0 Alleman over Quincy. Moline has a field goal. They trail Rock Island 6-3. Diggins with the pitch, trying to get to the backfield. Trying to get to the corner. And a flag is down from the umpire.
Probably in the area of holding.
Yep, he threw that sucker 10 yards. And from that point of the point of that flag, it's going to come back another 10 yards. So the Streaks going backwards big time after getting a first down to the UT 31-yard line. There's the hold signal, so they lose 8. on the miscommunication as Isaacson just juggled the ball and dropped it and dove back for it. And now another 8 yard or another 10 yards backward on the hold is going to push the Streaks back into their own territory.
Now, unpredictably, coaching staff over here saying, punt team, be ready. I hope we don't need them, but odds are we will, because we've got a long way to go. And I look north, and they just shut the lights off the baseball field now. So,
so the Cubs' victory party is over. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Turned out the lights. The party's over on the Cardinals today.
All right, so all the way back to the Galesburg, 47. They lost 14 on that. So from their own 47-yard line, Galesburg now has to get to the UT 20 in two plays.
Good
they have
grief.
Second down. Toss to Mixon, trying to get to the outside. He slowed down, tries to find his way across a hole, but it's not there. All he can do is get to the Panther 45-yard line. So now the Silver Streaks facing third and 25 coming up. And they are 1-for-2 on third downs tonight, and this would be a monster conversion if they could pull this one off. Gain of 8, not bad, but when you need 34, it's not anywhere near enough.
Well, the way we're structured, when we've seen a pass play in the early part of this season, it's usually more the element of surprise. I'm not sure when the other team's looking for this, we've got the prowess to get anything done, but we've got a couple of men wide right here. We'll see what happens.
Streaks stack it up to the right side. Fake handoff by Isaacson. He rolls it out on the bootleg, and he goes down hard. Wrapped up from the back side as Ty Kaiser chased him down back at the UT 49. So Streaks ran two plays, gained 28 yards, then lost 8, lost 14 on a hold, got 8 of it back, and then lost 4 more.
Been a little more mistake prone here in the first half tonight than we had in some previous games. And now we're going to kick with kick from about the 40.
Panthers put the rush on, but a clean punt away from Drake Sykes, but it gets up into that wind, and the Streaks down it at about the 21. With 8:11 to go here in this first half, still tied at 7. So both teams have punted twice and scored a touchdown in 3 possessions.
Good crowd, as you might guess, for homecoming here. Stands are, I tell you what, there's not many open seats to be had. And as we said, they've even moved the band into those south bleachers and got rid of that, and everything's still full. Good group of the student body. They like to stand for the whole game over here in the north end of the stands. And they'll make a lot of noise if the Streaks give them something to cheer about. Be a big defensive play right here. That would be great. Turn the ball over and get a short field to work with.
Keep an eye on that student section, Jim. The homecoming theme is out of this world, and we were looking for some alien attendance here tonight. Oh, big hit at the 25-yard line. Stops Cody Vroman in his tracks, and he goes straight down on a good stop by the Silver Streaks. Was that Andrew Barnes who made that play?
No, I believe it was Holloway.
Holloway, all right. Still goes as a gain of 4 for Vroman. And he's up to 55 yards rushing now on 7 carries. We are past the 8-minute mark of the second quarter, tied at 7. Panthers with the ball at their own 25. Second and 6 upcoming. Three wideouts to the near side. The toss to Vroman goes that direction. He cuts back, finds a little hole, dives forward to the 30, just across the 30-yard line. It's going to be a yard short of the first down. It'll bring up 3rd and 1.
Silver Streaks coach Tim Doherty looked at the ground. I think he was frustrated that Vroman was able to sneak through and fall forward and get that close. Barnes on the tackle that time for the Silver Streaks. He got a hand on him as he went by. I don't know if he got credit for the tackle or not.
Panthers 0-for-2 on third down so far tonight. 3rd and 1, though, odds in their favor. Streaks defense needs to stuff this one. And Vroman feels his way across the middle, now bounces to the outside, tries to get forward of the burst into Galesburg territory at the 49-yard line before Kitsch finally catches up to him. And they're going to say he's out of bounds all the way down to the Galesburg 37.
Good pursuit by Kitsch to be able to drag him down from behind. We did have a couple of men up front. Diggins and somebody else were still out there. They were going to tackle him eventually, but Kitsch got his heels from the back, but a big, big gain. This Vroman's given us all sorts of trouble, and not tackling quite as crisply tonight as we did up at Moline last week.
33-yard gain for Cody Vroman. comes into this game, his best rushing night of the season. He was only 44 yards, and we got a UT player down back at the 45-yard line. But twice in the last 3 weeks, he's gained 44 yards on 16 carries. Here tonight, he's up to 93 yards on 9 carries, and that includes a 37-yard touchdown run, which was the Panthers' score back in the first quarter. We are tied at 7 with 7:03 to go here in this first half.
Got to give Coach Ron Litchfield of East Moline credit. His Panthers, an underdog coming in here, and they had gotten blasted pretty good in a couple of their ball games, giving up quite a few points.
Yep.
But he had a great game plan against us last year, and they mowed us down up there and really shocked us by putting up 53 points. And here tonight, they've come ready to play, and it'll be all we can do to get rid of these guys and go to 2-0 in conference play here. We've got 7:03 to go before the half. Panthers have the ball, and they're driving a tied ball game.
But they're losing one of their offensive weapons who hasn't come into play yet tonight up to this point. In terms of receiving yards, Mac Fulton, the starting tight end, is being carried off the field with his left, I believe his left foot elevated. So hopefully he's all right. Into the game, taking his place, Dalton Oaks, 6'2", 185-pound junior, splits wide to the outside. Out of the I formation, handoff goes to the left. Roman wrapped up and thrown down by Kitch right at the 35-yard line. Matt went high for that one and wrestled him down. It'll bring up 2nd and 7. Approaching the 6.5-minute mark of this second quarter, tied at 7. Panthers with the ball, facing, we'll call it 2nd and 8 at the Galesburg 35-yard line. Roman's been the workhorse on the ground tonight for the Panthers. He is the lone setback. The fake goes to him, rolling out to the near side on the play fake. Pearson gets it away, and nobody there for the reception except for Andrew Barnes for the Silver Streaks, who makes a diving attempt at the interception at the 25. Can't come up with it. Good defense by the Silver Streaks, especially downfield. And it'll be 3rd down for the Panthers now and the first incompletion of the night for Nick Pearson.
Yeah, you mentioned the good downfield, and they did do a fine job. There wasn't anybody open, and Valdez applying the pressure from the backside on the quarterback forced him to unload that ball as he was on the move to the right, and good speed by Manny shown as he tracked down the quarterback there, and now we've got a 3rd down, big 3rd down chance for the Streaks to get a stop here on defense.
Watch to the outside, Zach Harris, and lines up wide to the left. The direct snap to Vroman, who fakes the pitch on the option. And then he's taken down just short of the 30-yard line. Jacob Ryden there to make the stop. Help out by Matt Hawkins as well. It'll bring up 4th and 3 with a win behind him. Let's see if they want to go for it here.
Yeah, I would think so.
I can't imagine they wouldn't.
And I would be pretty surprised if Vroman isn't the one that gets the ball in his hands here with the success that he's had early. Again, not a big, strong guy necessarily, but very quick, explosive. They do have Kelly they can bring in there, the big 200-pounder. We've seen him.
Five and a half minutes and counting. A lot of discussion going here on the sideline, and I think Coach Ron Litchfield wants to run this down as much as he possibly can. And are they going to take a delay of game penalty and go back 5 yards and then punt, or are they going to call a timeout? They are going to call a timeout.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine, you know, if you – you don't have confidence enough to go with 4th and 3 on the opponent's 31.
I couldn't either.
And, you kick it into the end zone, you gain 10 or 11 yards. What a waste of a down. So,
yep.
So they I assume they will go ahead and go for it here since they did take the timeout. Apparently just wanted a little more time to discuss what play they want to run.
Ball sitting in the near hash mark, about halfway between the Galesburg 31 and 32-yard line, 5:17 to go first half. We're tied at 7. And a reminder coming up at halftime, we'll hear from Galesburg girls swim coach Ray Van Ottegem. Another terrific start. It's been a good week for Galesburg athletically, huh? Big volleyball win over Moline.
Oh, yeah, and then beating Richwoods last
night. Turn around and won again, yep.
Playing much better now.
In fact, talking to a couple of the kids today, they're already talking about winning this tournament this weekend and getting their record over 500.
Good for them.
So it's amazing what a little win can do. All right, well, they're lined up in punt formation here. It's a high snap. A big running kick into it.
That just made no sense to me at all.
Kick it deep into the end zone so the Streaks will have it at the 20.
If they want to give us the ball, that's all right. I just cannot imagine for the life of me how you don't go for that.
Well, we've seen some play calls this season. Certainly in the Morton game comes to mind. That kind of leaves us scratching our heads sometimes.
Of course, that one was, at the end of that, was it was a flurry, and things get kind of crazy at the end of a game. That one, to me, was a little more understandable. But this one, you took a whole timeout to talk about it and then still kicked it in the end zone.
5:11 to go here in the first half. Isaacson plowed from the backside.
UT saying they've got the ball, and they do.
And they do.
Well, Isaacson got hit before, right after he came away from center.
Oh, he was blindsided.
Yeah, he had no chance, and I never saw the ball come out there. It happened so quickly, but it fell right on the line of scrimmage, basically, and the Panthers jumped out on top of it. So apparently that was their plan in the timeout. We're going to punt, and then we're going to sack him really fast and force a fumble. Good plan.
Genius. So now the Panthers have it at the Galesburg 17-yard line after the first turnover of the night. Hand off to Vroman, trying to feel his way up the middle. Gets to the 15, but a flag comes down from the back from the referee. And a holding. He immediately signals, and that'll come back 10 yards. So a good stop by the Silver Streaks. But they will certainly be happy to let 10 yards be added on to this. And move it back to first and call it first and at least 20.
Well, maybe the Panthers will self-destruct on a drive like we did early in the second quarter. Quick moving half, 5 minutes left before the half, and still tied at 7.
Only their second penalty of the night. First and 20 now. Back at the 27. Quick snap to Pearson, trying to throw it to the outside. It's caught on the far side by Zach Harris. They'll get back to about the original line of scrimmage, maybe a pickup of another yard past that. It'll be second and long. So they negate the penalty with a fairly conservative, quick pass play to the outside. And they're actually going to mark it at second and 11. Call it second and a short 11.
Always did like that play call, though, when you're not trying to get a bunch of yards back at once. Just take what the defense gives you. And that's exactly what the Panthers did.
Pearson with a handoff. Vroman avoids a tackle, gets to the outside, and then he's stuffed short of the 15-yard line. Somebody came charging through from the left side of that UT offensive line, but he just sidestepped him.
And Mixon gets credit for most of the tackle on that one.
Now 3rd and 9, we'll call it.
Well, Brian Allen also got a piece of him there. And another big third down already for the Panthers.
1 for 4 on third downs tonight. This will be 3rd and 9 from the Galesburg 16. In the shotgun, Pearson looking downfield across the middle. It's caught by Vroman for the touchdown.
Really a well-run play by the Panthers that time. And Pearson, very accurate throw. Just off to his left side, his man in the end zone by about 2 yards, caught it, fell backwards, and the Panthers have regained the lead.
16-yard touchdown reception. Pearson with his 6th completion of the night. 43 yards, but a big 16 there. Cody Vroman's 2nd catch of the night, and his 2nd touchdown of the night. 1 on the ground, 1 through the air with 3:34 to go in the first half. The kick is up and good. And the Panthers now lead 14-7, just over 3.5 minutes to go before halftime. After a Galesburg turnover, the Panthers take advantage of it. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You can tell the difference between someone who's come to the class prior to their surgery and had the education versus those that have not.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center introduced their joint camp program back in 2006. Registered nurse Connie Young feels the program has influenced positive outcomes.
It's really about educating our patients. What's going to happen to them when they get their joint replaced? What's their care going to be like when they're in the hospital?
Joint camp is your first step to full recovery. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together. Better.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Three plays after a Galesburg fumble recovered by United Township at the Silver Streak 17-yard line. Three plays and 17 yards later, the Panthers are in the end zone again, and they take just a minute and 31 off the clock. And now lead 14-7 after the extra point. The kickoff taken by Diggins at the 15-yard line. He slowed down trying to get upfield, and then he slips just across the 25 to about the 27-yard line. So again, Jim, as you mentioned last week, Trevon with a good burst of steam forward and then slows down when he sees the coverage coming on top of him, and it's pretty well where the play ends.
Yeah, and he could learn a little by watching Devin Hester, because Hester rarely breaks stride. Once in a while, he'll turn it around, head to the other side of the field, but for the most part, he's just exploding forward. And you give up all that speed in a hurry when you stop, and then, of course, slipped on that occasion.
3:29 remaining here in the first half. Streaks now down by a touchdown again. Handoff up the middle. Jonathan Mixon into the secondary, and we've got a foot race to the UT 30, the 20. He breaks free. Touchdown, Silver Streaks. Well, right back at you. 73 yards. Jonathan Mixon pulls the Streaks back within one.
Such a pleasure to watch Mixon when he gets into the open, the way he shifts gears. And I think, again, he always surprises his opponent the first time he makes that touchdown run, because they think of him as strong, but not necessarily that fast. When he gets in the open field, he was putting distance between himself and the defensive backs by the time he got down to about the 30. That was impressive.
They ran even for a while, didn't they? And then he just put on the extra burst and separated. And a 73-yard touchdown run now with the extra point by Tanner Laird, and we're tied at 14. And just like that, Danny Darst of Galesburg, it took 17 seconds. And Danny wins a $10 gift certificate from Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. We're tied at 14. 17 seconds.
Well, I just texted Tom Meredith and said, well, looks like we're going to be down 14-7 maybe at the half. I think I better send him another message.
I would think so.
Beautiful thing to see. We'd lost all the momentum. UT was gaining confidence, and to see Mixon break that, get the crowd back into the game and get our confidence back, that may prove to be one of the biggest runs of the year.
And he doubled his rushing output for the night with that run. He had 73 yards on 11 carries up to that point. He just ran it off for a 73-yard touchdown run, and we're tied at 14. Been a great battle, another great game tonight. We've seen four of them so far. Exciting. Right down deep into the fourth quarter, almost to the end of the game in most cases, and this one's shaping up to be a fifth one. Very short kickoff this time by Drake Sykes, taken at the 20. And the big man up the far side of the field returns it to the 30. And the Panthers, not bad field position, 3:14 to go in the first half, and two timeouts remaining for UT.
Be interesting to see if they go to the air, excuse me, a lot here, because, you know, Coach Litchfield told us on the pregame interview, I said, do you throw the ball much? He said, honestly, I probably throw it more than I should. I think he likes Pearson's arm, and we saw exactly why on that touchdown pass, and I don't think they'll be too content to just run out the quarter. I think you may see them put that thing in the air again since they've had success.
Well, and the Streaks have definitely showed some defensive lapses through the air, even despite Michael Moss's interception at the end of the game to save it, the win over Moline last week. They keep it on the ground on first down, little dive play right up the middle by Roman, gets to the 31 for short gain. That puts him at 100 yards rushing now on 12 carries. To go along with those two touchdowns, one on the ground, one through the air, which they got on the last possession. Second and 9 from the Panther 31 now, under 3 minutes to go first half, tied at 14. Sophomores won tonight, their first victory of the year, 22-13 the final. After an opening conference tie with Moline on the road last week, they are 1-2-1 on the season.
Future Streaks opponent Peoria Richwood's now back on top of Notre Dame 21-17 in the third quarter in Peoria.
Roman finds a little hole. Didn't look like much initially, but somehow he worked his way under a couple of defenders. Moves the play up to the 36 for a gain of 5, and that'll bring up 3rd and 4 now. Seen a little bit of everything tonight, haven't we? Turnover by the Silver Streaks. led to a Panther touchdown on the last drive. We've seen a long touchdown run by Jonathan Mixon. We've seen a passing touchdown. Now Pearson in the shotgun on third and four. A short drop, quick pass to the outside, and he overthrows the intended receiver, Dominique Parks, on the near side. And they do go through the air, but an overthrown ball by Pearson. Had it been down a little bit, Parks was open and in first down territory, but they can't convert. And that brings up fourth down.
Well, I like to watch Pearson's throwing motion because it's exactly the way they taught us when we were young. You bring that ball up right by your ear and let it go. See, he's got textbook form, but as you said, Brad, that one was just a little bit too much air underneath of it. And speaking of air, the wind has just about died.
Just noticing that, yep. Diggins is standing at his own 30 for this punt coming from Lewis Hill. Streaks try to put the rush on, but he gets it away. A high kick, and all Trevon can do is catch it, fair catch it at the 25. But the important part accomplished there, catch the ball, because there were three white jerseys right on top of him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pressure catch by Diggins. He made it look easy, but that was a thunderous punt and didn't even need any wind on that one. So, see if the Streaks can come up with 42 to go before the half of the ball back near our own 25.
With a minute 42 to go, as Jim said, Galesburg has all of their timeouts remaining. But, you know, you just let Mixon run off another 75-yarder. Yeah. You don't need to burn any timeouts, right?
That's right. And it's no risk.
Diggins lines up as a wing back to the left side. Mixon is the lone setback. He gets the handoff, plows forward for a gain of four on first down up to the 29.
Well, we've had four very competitive games so far this season that went deep into the fourth quarter, and it's starting to look like we may have another one here tonight. We were kind of hoping maybe the Streaks could have a little breathing room and not make us quite so nervous, but the Panthers have come to play tonight. They've been tough, and we're probably going to go right down to the wire again.
Minute 10 to go here in the first half. Back to pass. Isaacson throws one down the middle of the field, and he overthrows everybody. His intended receiver, Will Anderson, at the UT 45-yard line. He was well defended by Devin Willman, one of the D-backs for the Panthers, but Isaacson overthrew them anyway. Now, here's Galesburg, a team coming in, just one win all of last year. Got blown out by the Panthers, 53-20 up at their place last year. So if you're just tuning in wondering, okay, well, how can you be thinking that Galesburg's going to come in and maybe have some fun? How could they be that much of a favorite? Well, it's because the Panthers have been outscored by nearly 100 points in their first four games. They're only 1-3. Their only win of the year over Dixon by a point at the beginning of the year, and they've been routed in each of the last 3 weeks. But here we're tied. Mixon with a toss. Gets to the outside of the 40. Up to the 50-yard line. Run out of bounds inside Panther territory just across midfield. They'll spot him out at the 48.
And all
that
of a sudden,
the clock
yeah.
with a minute to go.
Right, we're thinking, well, a tie at halftime and one run like that, and all of a sudden we're thinking, how are we going to get some points out of this maybe?
Good third down conversion for the Silver Streaks. Credit Jonathan with a gain of 23 on that one. And he is quickly approaching 200 yards rushing now, thanks to that 73-yard run on the Streaks' last scoring drive. New set of downs inside Panther territory. Play fake by Isaacson. He's looking deep again. Holloway is open with the catch inside the 20-yard line. He falls down but hangs on to the ball, and the Streaks are moving deep now.
I can hardly hear your call over here with the scream from the crowd on that one once he caught that ball.
Down to the 18-yard line. A gain of 30. Holloway had the big touchdown reception through the air last week at Moline, and now the Streaks are marching. Under 50 seconds to go. First down at the 14 of the Panthers. Hand off to the left. Mixon had no chance. He might get back to the line of scrimmage. Galesburg uses its first timeout with just under 40 seconds to go in this first half.
This is nice to have a full quota of timeouts here. We can do several things before we have to concede and kick a field goal, which, again, it's nice to have the kicking unit this year to where we have confidence. If we need to resort to that, we can get it. And if you recall, in week two against Morton, we kicked a field goal before the half. It turned out to be the game winner.
Sure did, at least in terms of point differential.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll correct myself. Call that a gain of 34 on the pass play to Holloway.
Such a well-thrown ball by Isaacson. And, you know, Holloway, in our first home game against Peoria Central, had his big chance and was not able to bring a pass in a crucial situation. But since that time, he's caught a couple of big ones, including that one right there.
Second and 9 for the Silver Streaks coming out of the timeout. Ball sitting just outside the Panther 13-yard line. Again, 39.8 seconds remaining here in this first half when we get to halftime. We'll hear from Silver Streaks girls swim coach Ray Van Ottegem. Jim Lee caught up with Coach V yesterday. Look forward to telling you more about the very successful girls swim team coming up at halftime. Second and 9 now. Streaks running the play. Get the snap off to Mixon up the middle. Looked like he was going to go for a little bit, but a good sure one-on-one tackle just inside the 10-yard line. They're going to spot Jonathan all the way down close to the 5. So first and goal for the Streaks with the clock running. Under 26 to go after a gain of 12. I'm sorry, after a gain of 8. Hand off to the left side. Little dive forward. Touchdown! Silver Streaks have taken the lead just before halftime on a 5-yard run by Jonathan Mixon. Who else?
How cool was that drive? Mixon with the big one, then the big pass play, and then Mixon twice, once up the middle, that time a little bit off the left side, and he fought his way through, and the Streaks take their first lead of the night.
He's got 187 yards rushing in the first half now. 2 touchdowns. A 7-play scoring drive covers 75 yards in just a minute 25. Tanner Laird in for the extra point. Good snap. The hold is down. High kick. Looks perfect from here. And the Streaks take a 21-14 lead with 18 seconds to go in this first half. Again, 7 plays, 75 yards. A minute 25 off the clock.
Let's get good special teams play here. Don't give anything back with 17 seconds to go before the half. We'll see a defense next week that, as much as I love Jonathan Mixon, I don't think he'll have 187 yards at halftime next week as the Olivet Pioneers come to town. But Mixon, with those huge first couple of weeks, and he's going to be among the league leaders, not the league leaders, but the state leaders in rushing as he just continues to pile up the yardage.
Second rushing touchdown of the night for Jonathan Mixon. Along with the 1-yard quarterback sneak. That was the Silver Streaks' first touchdown of the night for Peyton Isaacson. Let's see how Drake Sykes wants to handle this one. Low line drive kick, but it's going to go deep. And it bounces in the end zone. So again, no chance for the Panthers to return it. And no time goes off the clock either. 18 seconds to take it 80 yards. If they choose to try to do something fancy, or will they just play it safe?
I would think you would play it safe.
I would too.
Because you just got down a score. If you try and do something and the ball back, you could put yourself in a huge hole. And UT's played a pretty good first half, all things told.
Yep.
And the last thing they want to do is have a blunder here and find themselves down to score. So pretty tight formation.
Sure is. Very short I formation lining up behind Pearson, who just takes a knee. A little bit of shoving going on with the line of scrimmage. So the Panthers played extremely safe. They don't even run a play. They just take a knee, and that's the end of the first half. And a big rally by the Silver Streaks late in the second quarter after a turnover sets up a UT drive inside the Galesburg 20, and the Panthers take a 14-7 halftime lead. The Silver Streaks come right back. Not quite as impressive as Peoria Notre Dame, Jim. What'd you say? 2 touchdowns in 7 seconds against Richwoods earlier?
Uh-huh. 1 offensive and 1 defensive just before the half.
So not quite that efficient by the Silver Streaks, but 2 touchdowns in the final 3 minutes and 17 seconds of the first half, and they take a 21-14 lead into the locker room. Again, Silver Streaks girls swim coach Ray Van Ottegem with Jim Lee coming up at halftime. We'll get you some halftime stats, some scoring as well. All when we come back to homecoming at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg leads by 7. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Looking for a great family outing?
Visit Country Corner for old-fashioned fun in the great outdoors.
We love Country Corner.
Yeah!
It's my favorite.
We all love Country Corner.
The corn maze is my favorite.
I like Pumpkin Land.
Don't forget the You Pick Pumpkin Patch, Timber Park Playground, Petting Zoo, and Farm Market. Honey, remember the magic popcorn?
And the taffy apples.
Of course! There are great cartoon cutouts for fun family pictures.
Don't forget about the ponies.
Of course not. On weekends, there's pony rides, concessions, and live music.
Can I ride the ponies?
Yes, dear.
Good.
Hello, folks. Bruce Lennon here, inviting you out to our Old Time Harvest Festival this weekend at Country Corner. Bring the kids for some old-fashioned fun. And while you're here, Abraham Lincoln will be around to tell stories and have fun with. We'll have live music in the Big Top 10 from 2 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. Country Corner Farm Fresh Fun, just north of Alpha on Route 150. Visit country-corner.com for details.
The official WGIL forecast, partly cloudy tonight, slight chance for rain over that low of 45. Tomorrow morning, a chance of showers and sunny by the afternoon and windy as well, with gusts around 30 miles per hour. High of 62 tomorrow. Patchy frost possible after midnight tomorrow night with clear skies and a low of 36. For Sunday, sunny and 62. Outlook for Monday, sunshine and a high of 68. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 56 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together, better.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football. We turn our attention to another Silver Streaks sport and one that's getting along quite well again this year. Ray Van Ottigam is the head coach of the Galesburg Girls Swimming and Diving Team. And Ray, you come into this season. You lost your first match by a couple of points, but since that time, your girls have not only been winning most of their matches, but you've been setting some records along the way.
Yeah, it's been real exciting. I think the key this so far, we were able to switch up some of our races and the other meets because the girls are becoming more versatile. They're not just swimming one race or two races. They're swimming three and four. So then I can spread it out, and they don't have to swim the same thing over and over. So it's really helped on our success this year.
Sometimes when you come back with a real veteran team, you expect to have success, but you're getting some underclassmen that are doing pretty well, aren't you?
Oh, correct. I think we have a couple freshmen that are stepping up. The sophomores are stepping up, and everybody's ahead of where they were last year because I track season bests and then lifetime bests. So if you're a senior, you may not get a lifetime best until the end of the meet, end of the season, the sectionals. And we've got seniors getting lifetime bests. So the upperclassmen are stepping up as well as the underclassmen.
You know, and there are so many different records that can be set. It can be a meet record. It can be a pool record. And I guess they're all a little bit different, aren't they? I mean, people might think, well, swimming pool is a swimming pool, but they all run a little different, don't they?
Oh, correct. And I would have to say our pool would not be considered a very fast pool because our starting blocks are kind of low and our water depth is between 4 to 5 feet. So a fast pool would have a taller starting block and maybe have 8 foot of water because then there's less disturbance in the water, less turbulence.
So do you have to practice with the girls in different pools? Does it make a big difference for them as far as the depth of the pool?
No, not really. The only thing would be water temperature. If you got the water is too hot, then that's not good. Yeah, it's not a good thing to swim in hot water, train really hard.
Yeah, you just wear out too fast?
It's hard to tell when you're sweating and when you're not, and then it has a bad effect when it's too hot. You just feel like you can't go anywhere.
Uh-huh. What are some of the favorite pools for you and the girls that you go to every year?
We pretty much like everywhere we go. I try to make the girls focus on taking care of what they're in control of, not what they're not in control of. So I don't think anybody really has a favorite pool. I mean, the girls like going to Rock Island. It has a different atmosphere than UT. We like going to UT. I think there might be one or two pools over the last 4 years they don't like to go to, but for the most part, they like them all.
And it can get pretty loud. It doesn't take a whole lot of fans making some noise indoors here, and they get a lot of support, don't they?
Especially if there's close races. I mean, the close races really get them going, and the team gets more involved as far as cheering for their teammates, too.
What's the progression for these girls? I assume they started at YMCA and then work their way up. When do they first, I guess, when do you start to notice them and try and groom them to be able to come into the high school program?
Well, I've coached, this will be my 21st year doing Y and my 20th year doing high school. So I started out at the Y and then I took over the high school program actually when we got this facility here. So I was like the first coach to get the keys to the pool. And I guess it's pretty easy to see who's coming up because they're on the Y team and I'm pretty involved in that. So I tell who's coming up and who's going to be an impact or who's going to make our dual meet lineup better. Because, you know, a lot of people don't understand that going to sectionals, you may only take 8 or 9 people, but doing a dual meet, you may need to have 18 to fill the lineup.
And, you know, we see sometimes the names of those winning in the individual events, but it's like track and field. The relays are every bit as important, and that really creates that team spirit, and you have to have that cooperation, coordination to be able to do well in those too, don't you?
Yeah, especially when the relays have a shot at a pool record or a team record or something, then they really focus on that, and that sometimes they swim faster than I think they're capable of on their own. The adrenaline gets going in the relays. They're second, third, or fourth. Then their adrenaline gets going, but leading off, it's pretty much like a similar individual race. But then once the adrenaline gets going, the crowd gets into it, it becomes a different ballgame.
Yeah. I know you value all the girls on your team, but there are some that really have been standing out winning some of the events. You might mention some of those girls right now.
Well, if you go through the races, we have probably 5 girls that make up 4 different combinations on the medley relay. On the free relays, we have 7 girls that make up about 8 different combinations I put together so that every meet could be a little bit different for them. And then on the individuals, the 200 free, Lily Pogue is usually right up there, and Danielle Beetler. The 200 IM, Lily Pogue and Amelia Smith. The 50 free, Delaney Duncan and Rebecca Duncan and Lily. And then the 100 butterfly, Katie Kennedy, Delaney Duncan, Rebecca Duncan. In the 100 freestyle, Lily, Delaney have done really well. Danielle Gutierrez picks up a lot of points for us. Katie Kennedy kind of bounces back and forth. The 500 free, Danielle Beetler is probably our strongest swimmer. And then everybody else takes their turn swimming it just to give them a variety in the meets. Summer Molina, freshman, has come up really strong. Her and Molly Naislin are right around that 6-minute mark, which is a huge barrier for girls. And then probably our best events, the 100 breaststroke. I think we're probably ranked first, second, and third in our conference in those events with Delaney, Amelia, and Rebecca. And when we probably go to a lot of the meets, they're going to get 1-2. That's, you know, those are probably the only races we get 1 and 2 in. We were at Champaign last week. We got 1-2 in the breaststroke. So I think those are our strengths.
Yeah, you finished, I think, third in that meet with some really good teams, right?
Right. There's 13 teams there, and I think last year we finished 6th. And with our best team, we finished 3rd. You know, in 1999, when our best team with all of our relay records, our pool records and stuff, you know, that's when we finished 3rd. And this year we finished 3rd, so.
I see. You beat Pekin earlier this week. And what do you got coming up then on Saturday?
We have a tri meet against Richwoods and Moline. So it doesn't really go against our dual record. We kind of set this meet up so that the whole team could swim. So instead of having 3 people in a race, we can have 6. And instead of having 2 relays, we have 4. So we're trying to make it so the whole team is involved with the 3 teams. It doesn't last quite as long as an invite, but a little bit shorter than a dual meet.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of communication with the other coaches that you're involved in the meets you'd be going to as you set these things up?
Oh, yeah. The host team, I probably talk to that coach once or twice the week of. And then there's a few coaches I'll keep in contact with. You know, how are you training this person? Hey, I've got this injury, or I got this girl. I saw you had this girl last year that was the same speed. How'd you get her faster? And we kind of help each other. And we got a good camaraderie going. And nobody looks at it like, I can't tell you because you'll beat us. You know, we kind of help each other out. And usually the stronger team ends up winning.
Yeah. Well, and as a coach, and I would think all the others too, your number one goal is to get the girls to be the best that they can be. And whatever that takes, you do it, right?
Correct, and that's one of the key statistics I keep at the end of the year. That I get the top 3 best time percentage. Who improved the most times, not the most overall, but the most times. Like if they swam a race 8 times, did they get faster all 8 times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of conditioning do you put the girls through? Is it harder before the season? Like, I know football, basketball players always talk about, boy, they're just killing me with the sprints before the season starts. Is it that way in swimming as well?
Well, on the first week of practice, we try to put it pretty hard because they probably haven't swam as hard as they are going to in high school. So we that first week is pretty hard, and then we kind of back off a little bit and hit a certain yardage. And then right before we crank up the yardage a little bit each week, and then right before we begin to rest for sectionals or the conference championship, we'll really crank it up even more and then back off of that.
You've been doing this for 20 years now. When you got started, was girls swimming what you really wanted to do, or you had thoughts of doing the boys sometimes? Well, what was your start when you or thought when you got started coaching?
I just enjoyed coaching swimming. I swam in college, and I was a YMCA swimmer when I was young, so that's always been in my blood, I guess. And I just applied when the current coach resigned. I applied for it and got it, and then when John Woolley left, my assistant at the time took over that position because I thought, you know, doing the girls team, the boys team, and the white team might be too much. And so then last year I went ahead and took over the boys, and they did pretty good. They improved a lot, so that was what made me happy. They improved.
Well, and you got to be pleased looking back over the years, and the swimming program at Galesburg High School has been recognized for a long time as being excellent, and you've got to be pretty proud of that.
Oh, yeah, I am, and I think the girls have a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
The girls for 20 years anyway, the boys for two.
Yeah. Okay, and finally, as you look toward the rest of the season, any sky to the limit for these girls? Any goals you got set for them right now?
I just hope they're not content and they continue to want to race and get faster, and if that happens, I would think we have a good opportunity to get a lot to state this year. It's going to take a lot to make finals at state, but we haven't been to state except for one time in the last 3 years. So,
first things first, win that Western Big Six, huh?
Correct.
All right, we need to get on to some other things here at halftime. Ray, thanks for a little bit of your time, and congratulations. Keep up the great work here at GHS with the swim team.
All right, thank you very much, and as always, it's a pleasure. Thanks.
Ray Van Ottigam, head coach of the GHS girls swimming team, as we'll be back with more on the WGIL coverage of Silver Streaks football after this.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
The Galesburg City Youth Commission is asking for nominations for this year's Adult Service to Youth Award. The award honors an adult in the Galesburg community who's made a significant impact on the youth of the community. Commission member Sue Cunningham says you can find the nomination application online. The commission will vote on the submission, and Cunningham says the details you provide are the only information they have on this person, so be as detailed as you can. The commission also gives out an extra effort award for youth, and you can nominate any youth at any time for that award. The Galesburg City Council will soon decide whether or not a local businesswoman can use the property she recently purchased for a business that she wants to open up. Years of vacancy meant 294 North Whitesboro reverted back to the residential classification, but the city's Planning and Zoning Commission recently approves it, rezoning back to a neighborhood business. Owner Amy Hines wants to open up a dog grooming business there. I'm Alexis Corey. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. President Obama reacting after the State Department labels the attack on the American consulate in Libya a terrorist attack. Fox's Ed Henry has the story.
The president's obviously fully aware that his credibility is being questioned here. So even when he was at a campaign event in Virginia talking about domestic issues, he made clear that he is fighting right now to protect American lives all around the world.
We have to make sure that not only our military, but also our diplomats overseas are protected.
A man is mauled by a tiger at the Bronx Zoo in New York.
The man apparently jumped off the monorail while it was moving into the tiger's den. And we have no idea what state of mind this person was in when he jumped in, but the tiger did attack.
Adrian Cipino with Fox 5 News. A Texas jury convicts Ryland Shane Absalon of murder. Prosecutors say he stabbed Ginger Hayden to death in 1984. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you: Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL. The Rush Limbaugh Show, weekday afternoons 12 to 3 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Halftime at Van Dyke Field. Homecoming. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Brian Prescott, our broadcast engineer for Silver Streaks football. Galesburg leading United Township 21-14 at the half. Let's go down on the field. Jim Lee is with assistant coach Jay Barshinger.
All right, great finish to the half. You were down 14-7. The team really responded well, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, we've been moving the ball pretty well. Had a couple holding penalties, and a fumble really kind of put us back. Offensively, we're moving the ball. We just got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot there.
A little more mistake prone than we've been all season. Exchange, and I think Peyton got tackled before he even got turned around there once, caused the fumble, and so that was adjustments you have to make.
Yeah, we just have to clean things up a little bit, and no major things to change. We just got to do a better job doing it.
Panning to number 23.
He's doing a great job.
Thank you.
As always, our thanks to the Streaks coaching staff for giving us a few comments here at halftime, with the Silver Streaks scoring twice in the final, well, just under 3.5 minutes of the first half to turn a 14-7 deficit into a 21-14 halftime lead. Let's take a look at the first half statistics for the Silver Streaks. Jim mentioned number 23. That's Jonathan Mixon of the Silver Streaks, of course. 17 carries for 187 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half. Trevon Diggins carried it 4 times for 44 yards. Ben Holloway, 3 carries for 30 yards. Peyton Isaacson had 3 carries. For minus 11, he did have a quarterback sneak for a touchdown and then got sacked a couple of times, which accounts for his negative yardage in the first half. Overall, Galesburg, 27 carries, 250 yards, and 3 touchdowns in the opening half. Peyton Isaacson was 1 for 2 passing with a 34-yard pass play to Ben Holloway. For United Township, Cody Roman leads away, 13 carries for 105 yards, including a 37-yard touchdown run, and no yards rushing team-wise the rest of the way. 15 carries for 105 yards. Nick Pearson, the quarterback, though, 5 for 7 passing for 43 yards and a touchdown. That also went to Vroman, a 16-yard reception. He has 2 catches for 22 yards. Clayton Kelly has a couple receptions for 12 yards in the first half. Other Western Big Six scores, Rock Island still on top of Moline 6-3 at last word, and still no update in the Alleman-Quincy game other than the Pioneers leading that one 7-0, and maybe there's no update there because maybe that one is staying right where it is. Galesburg will have the ball to begin the second half. We'll run through a few more numbers here, including time of possession, Jim. It's as even as we've seen it all season long. United Township, 11 minutes, 53 seconds in the first half. Galesburg, 12 minutes, 7 seconds. So, 12-minute quarters. Both teams have had it pretty much 12 minutes apiece. Six possessions each way.
Yeah, we made the most of it in our final few minutes, and we'll get the ball back to lead off this second half. Hope we'll avoid any turnovers and maybe spread that lead to 2 scores.
The kick from Lewis Hill, a short one. Silver Streaks will take it on a bounce again just over Matt Kitch's head. It's just perfect dead zone territory. Trevon Diggins found a little bit of an opening across the 35, and then good sure tackle by Dalton Oaks to prevent him from getting anything more. The way that ball, it's just two absolutely perfect kicks right over the head of Matt Kitch. And enough yardage ahead of Trevon Diggins that he can't come running up on it and catch it. And both times the ball has just deadened itself completely on the ground. But this time, when Trevon picked it up, the coverage was almost so much on top of him that he had some blocking, and he almost ran that one for a ways back.
Yeah, who's just a whisker away from breaking that? The crowd sensed the excitement, and he broke through. Yeah, you're right, Brad. Probably 8 or 9 of their guys were all right there together, and he got through there.
Toss goes to Ben Holloway, running left as the drive starts from the 38-yard line. He'll pick up 5 on first down before he's stopped by 3 white jerseys and then pushed backwards. Touchdowns in the first quarter, or first half rather, by Peyton Isaacson, a one-yard quarterback sneak, a 73-yard touchdown run, a one-play scoring drive by Jonathan Mixon, and then Mixon ran the five-yard scoring touchdown just before halftime. We had 18 seconds left at that point.
United Township had their team huddled just a little bit behind the press box there, and when I was coming out, they were coming out onto the field, and I noticed that Mark Fulton, their wide receiver we talked about, they had to help off the field. He's in a leg brace and on crutches, so he will not be back.
That's a shame. Streaks try to go left on this one, and that goes nowhere as the Panthers were right on top of it. That was the direction Holloway ran on the first play, and he tried to go that direction again. And he's going to end up losing a couple. This will take it back to the 40. Well, they're going to give him a loss of just a yard, back to the 42. So third and six upcoming for the Silver Streaks. Ellsberg 2 for 4 on third downs in the first half. Panthers were 2 for 6. So Streaks try to change it up a little bit with a lot of Jonathan Mixon in the first half, and he breaks a tackle as the handoff almost took him down for a loss of a yard, and somehow he does get back to the line of scrimmage and what appeared to be a broken play. It certainly was no smoothness to that one whatsoever. And the Streaks very quickly face a fourth and six.
Yeah, Mixon did a heck of a job breaking off the one tackle in the backfield. And then when he slipped away, unfortunately, he went straight ahead into another cluster of players and only able to get a couple of yards out of that. So a little surprised we didn't put that in the air. Again, we save pass plays for special occasions, and just kind of the story of our offense right now.
High snap. Panthers get a little bit of a rush on Drake Sykes, but he gets a high booming kick away that bounces at the 21 and then taken on a bounce, and the Panthers with Cody Vroman are going to try to run this one back. He gets to the near side at the 30, cuts back to the middle of the field, and Matt Kitch runs him down from the backside, and we have two flags down 10 yards ahead of where that play was headed.
Yeah, and these are separate incidents. This is a whole lot of things happening on that play. Number one, it was a tremendous kick, but our coverage team looked like it kind of went to sleep there. They were expecting him, I think, to just to either take it and down it on a knee or maybe let it go. And we had three guys looking him in the eyes, and he just picked it up and headed off to the left side. And now we're waiting to see how these penalties are going to shake out. I've got to think at least one's against UT, if not both.
Looks like a hold against Galesburg and an illegal block in the back against United Township. At least the referee initially signaled holding Galesburg's direction. And then the illegal block in the back. All right, there's the hold. Nope, that now he changes his direction. So that one's against the Panthers. And the illegal block against in the back, of obviously, would be against the Panthers on a run back.
You know, I think I'm going to head south here because pretty soon everybody else is going to have to if both of those penalties.
Well, the referee's doing a lot of talking with Ron Litchfield, so he points the direction of one end zone, then he's pointing the direction in the other end zone. And I know he's talking to Coach Ron Litchfield, but some of the crowd, okay, now there's the hold again, and that's the one they're going to count, apparently.
So still not too bad.
Yeah, ball will be at 35-yard line.
Yeah, Panthers could have done a lot worse out of that. So, again, as we talked at the outset, we had quite a breeze here when the game started, but it has completely died. I mean, that flag is completely limp on the south end zone right now. So no favorite direction the teams can go. The only advantage would be going south, I guess, towards the scoreboard a little bit later in the game. Let's hope that it's not too close. Silver Streaks by 7, but UT with the ball.
So the Streaks punt on their first possession of the second half, which is how we opened the game. The Panthers had the ball in the first quarter, 3 plays and a punt. Silver Streaks did the same to start the third quarter. Hand off to Vroman on a delay, gets to the outside, and then dragged down just across the 40-yard line. He'll pick up 6 on first down. Tackle for the Silver Streaks by Manny Valdez. Spot at the 42 for a gain of 7. 2nd and 3 upcoming.
Ankle tackle there from Manny Alvarez. Called his name a lot tonight, as we do every week. Still feel bad about missing his interception that home game here that I gave to Hawkins. He liked it, but Manny missed his interception.
Vroman gets a first down up to midfield at the 50. Little stutter step delay as the hole that he was aiming for started to close on top of him, and then a good lead block by his fullback opened it back up again, and he spurted forward to the 50 for a gain of 8 more. And he's picked up 15 yards on his first 2 carries of this second half, and a new set of downs right at the 50.
You know, Vroman, the size of back that you see that a lot of times in Class 1A ball will have a big career. He's only 5'8 and 160. Unusual to see at this higher level a player no bigger than that be able to have that kind of success.
And only a junior. Quick step back, swing pass to the outside on the lateral, and Vroman slows down, and the Streaks are able to converge on top of him. Tyson Parks got him. So did Andrew Barnes. And that'll go for a gain of a yard into Galesburg territory at the 49. Efficient passing by the quarterback Nick Pearson for United Township tonight. He's completed 6 of 8 passes. Nothing for any really big yardage. He did have the 16-yard pass played of Roman earlier that went for a touchdown. Now 2nd and 9 from the Galesburg 49. The toss to Roman trying to run right. Now upfield, found an opening into the secondary, and a low tackle takes him down at the 30. But a pickup of 19, call it 20, as they're going to spot it at the Galesburg 29-yard line.
And what made that all possible? One of the UT ends came over and got a nice block on Tyson Parks. Parks just on the outside of that play was trying to keep him from cutting back in, but that block was able to spring that right up inside of Parks there and freed him up for the yardage to run. And with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, the Panthers are driving.
On the move again with Galesburg leading 21-14. Alleman has scored twice now in the third quarter. They hold a 21-0 lead over the Quincy Blue Devils. Galesburg will play Alleman on a quarterback draw. Back to the pass on the fake, and he gets leveled. Pearson got the pass away, but that's because Jacob Ryden was right in his face, and all he could do is throw it downfield, hoping that somebody was there.
The best pass defense is a good pass rush. Because Pearson may have wanted to look the field over there. He had no time because Ryden was bearing down on him. And if I was Pearson, I'd have got rid of that too, because Jacob was ready to put the hit on.
Only his 3rd incompletion of the night, 2nd and 10 from the 29-yard line. Just under 8 minutes to go here in this third quarter on homecoming. Silver Streaks leading United Township 21-14. Hand off to the right side. Vroman gets
nice
hit
play.
And taken down right at the 39-yard line. Andrew Barnes again takes him down for a loss of 1. Vroman hasn't been stopped for short gain or no gain very much tonight. But that brings up 3rd and a long 10. But he can just as easily come right back with a big run. We've seen him sneakily and in a very slippery way break through. Now the quarterback, Nick Pearson, lines up as a wideout to the left, and he's moving. They tried the direct snap to Roman. They ran that formation once earlier in the first half, and it worked for a 3rd down. But Pearson got a little jumpy. Lined up as a wide out there to the left, and he gets called for illegal motion. False start.
Well, Peoria Notre Dame led Richwoods at the half, 17-14, but it was all Richwoods in the second half. They won it 31-17.
Notre Dame, a team that beat these United Township Panthers 40-8 a couple of weeks ago. They're 3-1 on the year before tonight. And as we expected, looks like Richwoods is starting to turn things around. They got trounced by Alleman on their home field a couple weeks ago. On 3rd and long, Pearson gets the pass away. Open to Vroman, and just like the touchdown catch earlier, he catches it with his back turned and the momentum taking him down, but it's a 1st down at the 15-yard line.
Amazing he could get that pass off. In fact, I think he's shaking his hand right now because it hit the helmet of either Valdez or Hawkins. Somebody was pressuring him quickly. He had to get rid of that and threw it pretty deep down the field, and it was right on the money. We'll see if the hand of Pearson shows any ill effects from smacking on that helmet there.
19-yard gain, longest pass play of the night for the Panthers. 41 yards receiving for Cody Vroman. A flag goes down as Clayton Kelly gets to the outside and then starts to work his way upfield. Likely this one coming back, though. Clayton Kelly coming into this game had all the rushing touchdowns on the season for United Township, at least in the last 3 games. There's the holding call. It goes against the Panthers, so it's coming back 10 yards. Kelly has carried the ball only once tonight.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, he's a big, strong kid and rumbled through there. I would I would think they would use him pretty interchangeably with Vroman there. You'd have your thunder and lightning attack, but they haven't used him much.
Fifth penalty of the night for the Panthers, against the Panthers for 40 yards. Takes it back to the 25. Brings up second, and or rather first and 19. Roll the clock, 6:40 to go, third quarter. Panthers with the ball at the Galesburg 25-yard line. Silver Streaks with a 21-14 lead. Neither team has scored so far here in the second half. On the counter play, goes to Vroman, and the Streaks swarm on top of him at the 25-yard line.
Diggins and Moss showed up over there for the tackle. And
Trevon came out with the ball running upfield thinking he was going to go for it, but the officials had blown the play dead.
It was a very slow developing play, and I kept waiting for our run support to come up, and I'm thinking, come on, guys, get there. This play doesn't have much going for it. I was afraid that guy was going to turn the corner, but then, like I said, there came Moss and Trevon, the speed merchants coming up off the corner and made the play.
So we'll call it second and 18, just inside the Galesburg 25-yard line. Back to pass, Pearson, looking at the middle of the field, has a man open, coming over, and the Streaks negate each other. Holloway and Diggins both had position for the touch for the interception, and they ran into each other, and it falls incomplete.
Well, and I want to think one of the linebackers might have tipped it. Did it look like that from up there, Brad? I thought that the ball kind of had a little wobble to it by the time it was into the secondary, and then you had the two Streaks converging on it, so might have had three hands on the ball that time. You like the incompletion, but you would have much rather had the pick.
Sure enough. North Fulton beats Bushnell Prairie City Avon 40-0 tonight. Here, it's 21-14 Galesburg, but the Panthers driving on third and 18. Swing pass to the outside into the flat.
Well,
it's
defense.
Caught, and then the Streaks just pile on top of Dalton Oaks after the completion inside the 25-yard line.
O'Brien, Allen, Tyson Parks over there, and they were not going to let him go anywhere.
Goes for a very short gain in what is likely two-down territory here for United Township. They call it a gain of 1 to the 23. 64 yards passing tonight for Nick Pearson. And the Panthers go, now are going to call a timeout. 5:10 to go in the third quarter. They're willing to tuck it over with 4th and 17 coming up from the Galesburg just inside the 24-yard line. Silver Streaks lead 21-14. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
5:10 to go, third quarter. Homecoming at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg leading United Township 21-14. Silver Streaks trying to go 2-0 in the Western Big Six Conference and 4-1 on the season overall. Panthers with a 4th and 17 just inside the Galesburg 24. Coming up, they're going to line up to go for a field goal here. This will be a 40-yarder. A 40-yard attempt for sophomore Lewis Hill. A good snap. The kick is short. Comes up well short. So the Silver Streaks defense holds. Galesburg Silver Streaks will take over at their own 30.
And that was a surprise to all of us. But when you're looking at going that distance on a fourth down, if they've got the confidence that he can get it that far. But he swept his leg through the ball very gently that time. And, you know, that's going to help for accuracy, but he did come up well short of the goalposts on that. And so the Streaks hold off a United Township drive with a good defensive stand and a couple of UT penalties that aided our cause.
So Galesburg takes over, actually at its own 23. Handoff to the outside, a little toss to Diggins. Gets a good lead block from Ben Holloway and then gets hit high. Still on his feet, trying to back his way forward across the 35, close to the 38-yard line. Now a scramble for the ball at the end, but the official is standing there, repeatedly blowing the whistle. And I think he's saying the play, they were whistling the play dead. Trevon was stood up and was backpedaling, trying to gain some additional yardage against at least three white jersey defenders. And then all of a sudden there was a battle for the ball at the end, but the officials had been already blowing the whistle. Trevon gets the first down up to the 30, and they're going to spot it at the 37, it looks like. Gain of 14.
And all that activity over in front of the United Township bench, so they were, I think, even getting more excited about stealing that ball away.
58 yards rushing now for Trevon Diggins on just five carries. Hand off to Mixon, trying to bounce to the outside. Sidesteps a man across the 50, run out of bounds inside UT territory at the 46-yard line. So he picks up 17 more, and Jonathan Mixon over 200 yards rushing now on the night at 205. He picks up 70 more yards, Jim. He will be at 1,000 for the season.
Wow. Isn't that something at the midway point of the season, really?
So on that 17-yard run by Mixon, that moves Galesburg into UT territory in just two plays on this drive. They have the ball at the Panther 46-yard line. 4:37 to go, third quarter. Hand off to Diggins. Finds a hole inside the 40. Trying to break free. Dragged down from the backside inside the 30-yard line as Tanner Schultz got a hold of him and held on, and there's a flag down late. We're going to have a personal foul here at the end.
Well, Coach Kelly Kane over here thinks so.
Horse collar call. So essentially a personal foul. Trevon gained 20. Down to the 26. And tack on more at the end. So now Trevon with 78 yards rushing on six carries. So that takes it from the 26. Be half the distance to the goal, right? Down to the 13. That's where they take it.
The Silver Streaks trying to take control of this ball game. We're up 21-14, but you still don't feel very safe at all, especially the way the Panthers drove it the last time they had it before stalling out. So Streaks want to get that two-touchdown lead. Got 14 yards to get it done.
20-yard run and a 13-yard penalty. Hand off to Mixon. Sidesteps a man, dives forward to the 11, picks up two. Good ankle tackle made there. Knocked Jonathan just a little bit off balance. Still was able to dive forward to the 11 for two more. And for the first time on this drive, the Silver Streaks do not pick up a first down on the play that they run.
This field is really in nice shape. We had a little bit of rain today, not a lot. It's a little slick out here, but the grass is just excellent.
Second and eight from the 11 of the Panthers. Silver Streaks trying to get a two-touchdown lead. Holloway gets to the outside, tries to dive down low for the goal line. But there's a flag down in the backfield, so it's going to come back even if he did get into the end zone.
Yeah, Trevon Diggins is going to get called for a hold or an illegal block here. Yep, holding. I mean, they threw it right at his feet. He looked up at the official and threw his hands down on the grass. Couldn't believe they called him for it, but that's not a good spot to pick up that penalty. Holloway was off to the races.
Would he have gotten in, Jim? It was hard to tell from up here where that play stopped finally.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
I had about half an eye on it. As soon as the flag came back, I was watching that too, but I don't think he ever got to the goal line.
Alleman has scored again in the fourth quarter. They now lead Quincy 28-0. Rock Island has another touchdown and a two-point conversion. They now lead Moline 14-3. And that game is in the third quarter. Here come the Silver Streaks up to the left side. They'll get back to the 15-yard line for a gain of 7, but it'll bring up third down. Silver Streaks have to get inside the 5 for a first down, or just take it the final 4.5 yards from there and score the touchdown.
Play was over here on the near side, and you can see Jonathan Mixon just loaded up and doled out some punishment to Devin Willman, one of the guys that came up to tackle him. Willman hobbling a little bit as he went away from the pile after he got a piece of Mixon.
Mixon gained 6. As he approaches 1,000 yards for the season, back to pass Isaacson on the play fake. He has Holloway open. He got it. Touchdown, Silver Streaks.
Perfectly thrown ball again as the tandem of Isaacson
And Ben Holloway, a 15-yarder.
I thought it was Holloway, and then I looked over there. I thought it was said 80 instead of 30, but it was Holloway, number 30. And he comes up big again on a perfect throw by Isaacson, and the Streaks have a little breathing room now at 27-14.
Tanner Laird in for the extra point. Streaks punted on their first possession of the third quarter. They make it stand up here. The extra point is good. 28-14, 2:47 to go third quarter. Silver Streaks now lead by two touchdowns. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knotts County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
A place for everything and everything in its place. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, buy the 1,400 square foot ranch set on 3 acres in Monmouth and everything will have its place. Get the details on this must-see property that's for sale by owner at galesburg.info, keyword FISBO.
Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Six plays, 77 yards for the Silver Streaks. They take 2 minutes and 19 seconds off the clock. A 15-yard pass play from Peyton Isaacson to Ben Holloway. 28-14, that makes a winner of Tim Dennis of Oneida in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest with 2:47 to go here in the third quarter. Here comes homecoming king Drake Sykes with the kickoff. Ooh, a shorter one this time. Toward the sideline, bounces at the 16, and taken there trying to get to the outside is Elijah Ellis, and the Streaks wrap him up, and Tyson Parks takes him down at the 17-yard line.
Great effort by Parks. I was a little afraid Tyson was going to run right by him. He was going so fast coming up there. You see that happen on special teams, but he was able to grab him by the shoulder pads and finish off the tackle in a heck of a play by Parks.
Put it at the UT 19-yard line. Galesburg now with a little more comfortable lead. They have scored 21 unanswered since falling behind. A Peyton Isaacson fumble at the Galesburg 17-yard line. United Township picked it up and put a three-play scoring drive together to take a 14-7 lead. Since that time, with 3.5 minutes to go in the second quarter, Galesburg has now scored three straight to take a two-touchdown lead, and another good run by Cody Roman weaves his way across the 25-yard line, and a tackle from behind is the only thing that prevents him from getting a first down and potentially a lot more on that one.
Well, and I'm sure that's what UT's looking for, is maybe to break Vroman again, because that would be what would get them right back in the game in a hurry. Good tackle again by Manny Valdez, though, from the backside, able to bring him down after a gain of 9.
19 carries, 149 yards on the night for Cody Vroman, including a rushing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. Handoff up the middle. And for one of the few times tonight, they go back to Clayton Kelly. Gets the first down across the 30-yard line to the 31. Gain of 2. And that's enough to move the chains.
Well, again, Eric Lieber and company having to give away a lot of food. Lieber's Hobo Express, because the Streaks score in every quarter.
They're actually going to give Kelly a gain of 4 on that one, all the way up to the 32-yard line. Hand off to Vroman, trying to bounce to the outside. Streaks in pursuit. Get an initial hit, stays on his feet, and then Galesburg able to finish him off, but he does cross. Well, where are they going to say forward progress? They ended up pushing him backward 3 yards. Nope, they're actually going to keep him short of the 35, so only at the 33, so a gain of just 1 there. Thought they'd give him a little bit more than that on forward progress. But they do not.
For the first time in this fall football season, we're seeing the players' breath out there as it's gotten cold enough. But without the wind, it's still pretty comfortable down here.
Pearson under delay, handoff to Vroman. And he's wrapped up from the backside and dropped down right at the 40-yard line. And another good gain on second down, a gain of 7. It'll bring up 3rd and 2. He's a slippery little back. Good speed. Works his way through the offensive line, his teammates, very nicely. And if he finds an opening, he recognizes it quickly and gets through it. And he can break a big one if you don't keep him contained.
Is that a player with a chin strap that wasn't attached? The official got that straightened away, and now here comes a big third down call.
3rd and 2 for the Panthers, 45 seconds to go, third quarter. Handoff to the left. Vroman escapes the tackle from behind, and he's got some running room into Galesburg territory at the 40. Finally run out of bounds inside the Silver Streaks 35-yard line. The one guy who had a shot at him behind the line of scrimmage was Zane Crowell. And Vroman was able to step to his left and take off. And all the way down inside Galesburg territory to the 33 for a pickup of 27.
Well, and using Isaac Smith at the quarterback spot, at least for that play, didn't know what they were up to, but we were trying to hope they wouldn't get 2 yards for a first down, and they ended up getting a bunch more into Streaks territory.
And now Vroman approaching 200 yards rushing tonight as he's up to 184. That may be the final play of the third quarter as Vroman with a little dive play up the middle. Gains maybe a yard on first down. Down to 17 seconds to go in the third quarter. Silver Streaks have added to the lead with a third quarter touchdown here. 28-14. They're going to give Vroman no gain on first down. And the Panthers with 3 seconds to go in no hurry to try to run off a play here at the end of the third quarter. So with three quarters gone on this homecoming night at Van Dyke Field, Galesburg now leads the UT Panthers 28-14. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
For the baseball enthusiast who appreciates the process of breaking in a genuine leather Rawlings glove, for the football fanatic that understands the importance of having an authentic Riddell helmet between you and the other guy, and for the volleyball player who will only practice with a Wilson ball because she insists it sounds different, louder, when she spikes it on her opponent, Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee has brands that true athletes insist on for a reason. Find them all under one roof at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee.
When it happens in the world of sports, we are there. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on WGIL.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg leading the Panthers 28-14 as we start the fourth quarter. Jim, any guesses on how the Mercer County, Mid-County game came out? I'll bet you know who won.
I've got a feeling the number one team in the state might have eked that one out.
62-0.
Yeah, when I was talking earlier today, I said that schedule's just rife with mismatches for tonight. I didn't figure there was going to be many close ones. Maybe that Havana Farm game.
Handoff goes to the right side. Vroman gets across the 30-yard line, kind of felt his way through some openings there. A couple good lead blocks by the offensive line. Zane Crowell finally caught up to him from behind. He'll get it down to the 28, close to the 27-yard line, and it'll bring up third and four, we'll call it.
I was hoping that Knoxville might be able to give Elmwood Brimfield a go.
Whew, that's a tall order.
Yep. But I think Stark County and I think Anawan Weathersfield were probably going to have walkovers tonight.
All right, on third and a long four. Handoff to Vroman.
Nice.
He's contained well that time. Somebody slowed him down a little bit from behind, but then they were able to keep him all in front.
Ryden and Hawkins over there to knock him down from the front. I'm not sure who got him from the back, but
it was Hawkins.
He may have lost a half yard.
So the ball sitting right at the 27, so no gain.
Big fourth here. Let's get this stop. Crowd consensus as well. We're hearing some of the noisemakers in the stands.
They got a big third down conversion on the last play. They want to keep this drive alive, trailing Galesburg by two touchdowns. Under 10:40 to go in the game. Hand off to Kelly trying to get to the outside, and he stood up close to the first down. Tyson Barks
made
the initial hit.
It's clear across the field, but
right.
I don't think he got it, guys. Nope. They may have to measure, but it's
sitting on the far sideline, and the official just wants to be sure. The referee wants to be sure. Right there with Ron Litchfield talking in his ear.
They're going to bring him across.
Yep. Chain Gang will get some exercise here. That'll warm him up on a crisp night.
But from where we stand here, I think it's going to be about a half a football length, maybe a full length short.
There's so many UT players on the sideline up here, I can't even see where the ball is.
When you're looking across the field has a little crown to it, so it can be deceiving, but I got to think this one's a little short.
Well, Brian Allen of the Silver Streaks, one of the captains for Galesburg, standing right on top of it. And as soon as they stretched the back end of that chain out, Galesburg knew immediately that Kelly did not get enough for the fourth down conversion.
So good effort by the Streaks defense as they just barely able to stop the big kid Kelly and get the ball back with 10:35 to play in that two-touchdown lead. And what we don't want to do in talking with assistant coach Kelly Kane before the game, though, is what we kind of did last week at Moline, start looking at that clock and think, well,
right,
just need to run out the clock and hold them off. Well, because then you get back on your heels and bad things can happen. We got to continue to be aggressive out there.
From the Galesburg 24, a pitch into the backfield to Diggins, trying to get to the outside. He's got some running room, and he's got the first down across the 35-yard line, up close to the 37. Galesburg really strung that play out, and then Diggins finally found an opportunity to cut it upfield a little bit for a gain of 12.
And those are the fun ones for Trevon when he comes sweeping around that side, and he knows that he's guaranteed at least a 5-yard gain because nobody's going to touch him till then. It's just a matter of whether he can find a seam and break a long one. That time he just settled for about, what, 10? Is that what he got?
Give him 14 on the play. He's up to 92 yards rushing on 7 carries to go along with 213 for Jonathan Mixon, who takes this handoff. Trying to get to the outside, got a hole. There's a flag down in the backfield. Mixon at the 40, to the 30. Tries to cut it back, and he's run down at the 20-yard line.
Probably all coming back, though.
Yep, flag down in holding territory, and there's the signal right away from the referee. Heck of a run by Jonathan Mixon.
You got some unhappy coaches over here, too.
Jonathan gets 60 more yards tonight. He will be at 1,000 for the season. And that would have been a big chunk of it right there, but it's all coming back. 10:09 to go in the game. Streaks leading 28-14. Sophomores were winners tonight as well, 22-13. Their first victory of the season. Call it a 10-yard penalty, 6 of the night for Galesburg for 60 yards, but take away what Mixon gained on that one, it's really going to end up to be about a 50-yard penalty. Back to the 30.
Which that would have put Mixon at how many yards? Close to 300?
Well, 12, 30. That would have put him in the 260s. So first and 18 for the Silver Streaks. Toss to Holloway, trying to find an opening. Cuts back toward the middle, but the white jerseys swarm around him across the 30, up to the 32. So he'll gain 2 out of that, but it was a hard 2.
Holloway, especially for a sophomore, though, making a lot of contributions, and he's not that big, and so a guy his size has to be able to pick those holes and find the openings a little bit better than maybe a bulldozer, and he does that very, very well. Mixon had just run over some of the guys that Holloway sidestepped there.
Ball just short of the 33-yard line. Handoff on the second man through straight up the middle. Good forward burst by the Silver Streak short of the 40-yard line. It'll be Mixon again. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage plus one more. Now the Silver Streaks face a 3rd and 9 upcoming from their own 39. Haven't faced third down very much tonight. 6 of 11 against Moline last week. Galesburg 3 of 6 so far on third downs tonight. And they need to convert on 3rd and 9 from their own 39 with 8:40 to go in the game. Leading 28-14. The toss from Isaacson to Mixon, trying to get to the outside. There's pursuit, but he breaks out of it. And upfield for the first down across midfield to the UT 48. How in the world did he ever get that out of that?
Well, he was running for his life for one thing because he saw Big Avery Pearl out there looking at him. He's the 6'7", 330-pound kid, and if he doesn't turn it back inside, he gets a whole load of Pearl. And so Jonathan, even though he's strong, said, I don't want any part of that big boy. And so he turned it back inside where there was some running room, and he was able to pick up the yardage. So
huge.
Heck of a play to keep the drive alive and keep
sure.
The clock moving.
Huge third down conversion for the Silver Streaks. A gain of 13 for Mixon, who's up to 233 yards rushing now on 23 carries, averaging better than 10 yards a carry. I can even do that math. Well, Brian Allen, a wide out to the near side for Galesburg. Diggins and Holloway, the wingbacks. Ben goes in motion. The handoff to Diggins
fumble.
Gets down low.
UT's got it.
And they
do. A rare
do.
Fumble by Mixon.
Boy, sure is. He stopped right at the line of scrimmage. The ball popped out. Looks like he took a shot right to the a hard shot up high. And the Panthers recover at their own 47.5-yard line. Well, Streaks fumbled one away earlier, and it cost him. Panthers turned it into a touchdown on their next offensive possession. With 8 minutes to go in the game, they need to do it again to get back in this one with the Silver Streaks leading 28-14. How costly a turnover will this one be for the Silver Streaks? In the shotgun, Pearson sacked back at the 40-yard line. Hawkins came barreling through and leveled him. He pump faked, and that cost him.
I don't know. He probably didn't see Hawkins. He might have felt the rumble coming that direction, and then he got leveled. So a big play by Hawkins after the turnover, and you love to see the defense come up big.
They lose six on the play. Second and 16 now. Back inside the Panther 42-yard line with the clock rolling under 7.5 minutes to go in the game. Galesburg trying to celebrate on homecoming. Leading 28-14. They spoiled Moline's homecoming last week. They want to have a good time on their own tonight. Vroman tackled for another loss back inside the 40-yard line. Terrific pursuit as Ben Holloway made the initial hit.
Yep, and then Barnes was over there to finish the job as well as the Streaks defense has come off the sideline breathing fire after that UT fumble recovery. We're one play away from getting the ball back. UT's got a long way to go.
They have lost 9 yards in two plays. Third and 19. 2 for 4 on third downs in the second half. 4 for 10 for the game. In the shotgun, Pearson across the middle, behind Vroman, and falls incomplete. And Holloway was right there for the coverage anyway, but one of the rare passes we've seen from Pearson that's been off the mark. And UT, after the Galesburg turnover, goes out quickly with three plays and a punt upcoming.
Well, and it's hard if you're them and you're down 14 points to kick it away with 6:34 to go, but they don't have much choice. They probably hoping for another turnover because you got a better chance of that than you probably do making 4th and 18.
The rush is on. It's a soft snap, and they just barely get it away. Bouncing, and Diggins is going to back away and let it roll, and we've got a flag down on a roughing the kicker.
Oh, boy. I didn't even know it was there until somebody over here on the sideline, one of the coaches, was yelling, stupid. I thought, okay, that can't be on this end of the field. And I look back, and there's that flag. And, yep, we ran into the kicker, which I believe is an automatic first down.
Yep, it sure is. And this happened last week, you might remember, in the Moline game on 4th and 19. Streaks got a pass interference penalty. It's typically 15 yards, which wouldn't have been enough for the first down, but it's one of those. It's an automatic first down, and this is the same way on a personal foul.
Well, it's a situational thing. I mean, if it's a close game and you're needing to make a play on a punt block or something, you can forgive that. But when you're up by 14 points, you just made a great defensive stop, and then to knock the kicker over, that's pretty unforgivable. The defense goes back out onto the field, unfortunately, after a great stop, and they'll be asked to do it again.
Who did the Vikings play last week? I'm trying to remember now.
Colts.
Yeah. They had two terrible defensive penalties that kept a Colts drive alive in the first half, and one of them was exactly that. They ran into the kicker when they forced the Colts to punt the ball. Colts drive ended up staying alive because of two penalties in the first half. And the Colts went down, scored a touchdown. It ended up being, potentially the difference in the game the way that one turned out. Now the Panthers with a new set of downs, new life from the Galesburg 44. Pearson under pressure, wrapped up and taken down by Manny Valdez all the way back in Panther territory at the 47.
You know, former Rock Island coach Vic Boblett always told us at the banquet up there before the season that he loved football because one of the biggest parts about it was forcing you to react and respond to adversity. And I think that's exactly what the defense is being asked to do here after making a stand, coming off the field, hadn't even hardly got a drink of water, and then they look back out there and have to go back out and do it again. And they came up big on first down. with Manny coming through big again. He's had a nice game tonight.
On first down last time, Hawkins sacked Pearson for a loss of 6. This time it's Valdez for a loss of 9. Second and 19. The pitch to Vroman running right. The streaks contain and take him down at the 50, but there's a face mask as O'Brien Allen got him with the high tackle. And there is another penalty. Or was that a holding penalty I just saw? We got 3 flags down. Thought the referee signaled a hold, but that's got to be a face mask the way O'Brien got the hand up there and the way Vroman went down on the tackle. They took him down right at the 50-yard line. It would have been a short gain. It would have brought up 3rd and 16. Personal foul, face mask. There it is.
Yeah.
So there's another 15-yarder against the Silver Streaks.
Flags came in from every possible angle on that one. I'm not sure there was, I guess, maybe one official out there that didn't throw his flag.
So, 2 huge penalties against Galesburg. 1 on special teams, now 1 on defense. Galesburg's been penalized more in this game than they have all season. 8 penalties now, 90 yards, and now a first down for the Panthers at the Galesburg 34.
The only way they're making any yards right now is on penalties.
Yep, 30 big yards. One of them going for an automatic first down.
But they're just one pass play away from being right back in this ball game.
With 5:32 to go, and the Streaks leading by 2 touchdowns.
And a pass formation with a couple wide left here.
And Pearson in the shotgun. Back to pass. Here comes the pressure. He gets this one away across the middle of the field. Vroman with a catch inside the 15 to the 12.
You just kind of feel that coming.
Yep. Gain of 22.
After the penalties and the way their formation was set up, you just knew they were going downfield with that ball. And when you make as many mistakes as we have on this drive, I suppose you deserve to get scored upon.
86 yards to the air now for quarterback Nick Pearson. Vroman with 63 of those on the receiving end, including a touchdown. First down inside the Galesburg 12 now. Hand off to the right side. They go back to Vroman. Good move forward by the offensive line, running right inside the 10 down to the 9. Vroman picks up 3 more.
Well, he had success early in the game, but he's been paying a price here in the second half. Not a whole lot of room for the little guy for UT to run in.
His last 5 carries have gone for 3, minus 3, 6, 0, and 0. This one goes for 3 just inside the Galesburg 10. Clock rolling under 4:50 to go in the game. Panthers inside the Galesburg 10, trailing by 2 touchdowns on a play fake. Rolling out on the bootleg. Across the middle goes the pass, and it falls incomplete. Couple of Silver Streaks defenders there to knock it away, and that'll bring up 3rd down.
We were fortunate there that he went over the middle into some double coverage, really, when he could have shot one into Zach Harris over here, number 7. He was in one-on-one coverage with Moss, and if he throws that ball right here, it's probably a touchdown, but he was so locked into the middle of the play, I think we caught a break there.
Quincy has scored, still trailing Alleman 28-7 in the fourth quarter. Molina has a touchdown. They now trail Rock Island 14-9 in the fourth quarter.
That's encouraging to see the Maroons giving the Rocks that good of a game.
3rd and 8, inside the 10, rolling out to the near side. Pearson overthrows his man inside the 10-yard line. That would have been awfully tough to get in for the touchdown, but it's 2 down territory anyway. Passing complete, intended for Elijah Ellis, and now 4th down for the Panthers at the Galesburg 9.5-yard line. They still can get a first down inside the 3. But they need a touchdown with 4:33 to go and trailing by 14.
All right, let's finally get this here. We've had a couple of stops, but the penalty parade has continued. Let's end it right here.
Panthers failed to convert their only 4th down attempt of the night earlier in this fourth quarter. 4th and 8 here from the 9.5. Again, the play fake. Now Pearson turns back across the middle of the field. Incomplete. Intended for Vroman. He was open, but he led him a little bit too much with the pass, and the Streaks take over at their own 9.
Caught a break there. I thought Vroman, that was a catchable ball, but it was going pretty fast. He got a hand on it, but he was sliding to his knees at the time and just not able to haul it in. A nicely designed play, though, by the Panthers. It requires you to get some good pass protection, but it was a late developing play as Vroman came out and slid out into the secondary and up the middle. And little misdirection on that as well.
Sure was. So now Galesburg takes over. 4:27 to go in the game. Started with 8 minutes to go. That Panther drive did, aided by two big Galesburg penalties. And the Silver Streaks are able to dodge a bullet, still leading 28-14 as Jonathan Mixon takes the handoff, advances to the 13-yard line for a gain of four. And this is all the Silver Streaks want to do now. Chew up time, chew up yardage, get some first downs, and finish off their fourth win of the year.
Yeah, the inability of the Panthers to get in there kind of reminds me of when we played Peoria Central here a few weeks back. We had the ball in a similar situation on the other end of the field, trailing, and could not get it in, and that really was our last chance. It was what cost us the ball game.
Under 3:40 to go in the game now. Hand off to Mixon again. Runs over a man and hit just short of the 20-yard line. Big hit. But it's by Jonathan Mixon, who runs over his man, who's still down.
Yeah, yeah, you could feel that one clear over here, and you might have heard some people in the press box and elsewhere saying, man, that was like a couple of battering rams hitting each other. And so he tried to get up. The coaching staff came over and said, no, you stay down here for a little bit. Want to make sure you're okay. And now he is up, the player from United Township. Looks like 99 Patrick Hawkins.
Actually, 89, Jim. Tereni Ajibola, 5'7", only 137.
Did a nice job pronouncing his name there.
Well, no wonder Mixon ran him over. If he's less than 140 pounds, good heavens.
Yeah, wow.
And now they're going to bring the chain gang out to measure how close this one is. Ball sitting just short of the 20-yard line. You might remember Galesburg started the drive at the 9.5. They stretched the chain out.
Can't get much closer. Still trying to decide whether he made it.
I can't see it at all from up here, the way they're gathered around down there. So apparently he's spread your index finger and your thumb maybe as far apart as they can go, and that's how short they are of the first down here. So credit Mixon with a gain of five. It's really at the 19-yard line, though.
You know, in that Peoria game I alluded to, when we came up short on that one nice drive, then the worst part after that was Peoria took it right down the field the other way.
That's right.
And took control of the game, and we'd love to go ahead and do that here, too.
Farmington 4-0 at Havana 3-1. The Farmers win it tonight, 38-12.
Oh, impressive.
Isaacson with a sneak. Good offensive line surge across the 20. He's got the first down to the 21. Silver Streaks have been very good on third downs again tonight for the second week in a row. That makes them 5 of 8 and 13 of 19 over the last two games. Well, they moved the ball back to the 20. I thought for sure he got right at the 21, but it's still going to be enough. Not by much.
Yeah, and that's the one that will probably make the last 3:20 of this game go off fairly quickly, barring any penalties. I don't think you'll see the Panthers probably using many timeouts unless they get us back into a third down situation here.
3:15 to go in the game. Aledo, or rather Mercer County, beats Mid County 62-0 tonight. North Fulton shut out BPC Avon 40-0. Peoria Heights over Lewistown by a touchdown, 27-20.
Wow, that's been a while.
Peoria Heights, the Patriots, now 3-0 in the Prairie Land Black Division. Lewistown drops to 1-2 and 1-4 overall.
I bet you'd have to go back a ways since Peoria Heights beat Lewistown.
And was 3-0 in the conference.
Yeah. You know, Streaks doing what they've done numerous times tonight, getting a penalty and making things a little more difficult for them. Wanted to update that final from Richwoods. It was 34-17, Richwoods over Peoria Notre Dame. So good to see. We'll need the playoff points from Richwoods if we get to five wins, but we'll probably need to maybe beat them, too, at the end of the season.
Right. Peoria Central's at Quincy Notre Dame tonight, so a tough contest there. Here's Mixon breaking free across the 30. He may go all the way. He's into UT territory, fights off a tackle, tries to stay in bounds down the sideline, and he just couldn't keep his balance, but a huge run by Jonathan Mixon. We're going to tally this one up from back at the Galesburg 15-yard line. And where exactly are they going to mark him out?
What balance he showed there, huh? You know, Devin Williams coming over there trying to A, tackle him, or B, shove him out of bounds. And Mixon, apparently he did get his foot on the line, but he was still running all the way into the end zone. And most of his body weight was shifted to the left, and he was still... I mean, he was still running fast. That's what's amazing, to be able to run that fast when you're not even on balance. That's, he ought to do the balance beam.
52-yard run. He's over 1,000 for the season now. And he gets the handoff again.
Oh, he ran into Pearl that time.
Right into four white jerseys. Yeah, they didn't need all four of them, did they?
No, all they needed was 76. Because like we said, John's tough, but you run into big 330-pound Avery Pearl, and he gets both arms around you, you're going down in a hurry.
Gain of a yard. Jonathan Mixon, 296 yards rushing tonight. He's been over 100 every game this season. This is the third game he's been over 200, and he's over 1,000 for the year now. And one more good little run, and he'll be over 300 for the night. What a season for the senior running back. Second down inside the Panther 27 with under a minute 35 to go in the game now, and now penalties. Flags fly everywhere. Another false start against the Silver Streaks. For Galesburg, that is penalty number 10 tonight for 100 yards.
Hey, this is starting to resemble the third quarter of the DeKalb game.
So, back to the Panther 32-yard line.
Bobby.
1:35 to go in the game.
Bobby.
And a Silver Streaks victory. 28-14 is the Galesburg lead here on homecoming. The other two undefeated teams in the conference at last check were also, in fact, Rock Island has opened it up on Moline now. They now lead 28-9. So Moline got close, down 14-9. Now the Panther, or rather the Rocks, have scored another touchdown. Let's see if they go to Mixon again. They do, trying to get to the outside, trying to break free. Gets back to the 30, but he loses a couple yards. Well, don't go backwards, Jonathan. Yeah, got to get over 300 here.
He got popped pretty good by the other team's fullback on defense, and now Clayton Kelly. We talked about him, and again, been a little surprised that they don't use him a little more on offense, the big kid. And he was up to the task of leveling Jonathan there.
So the Panthers call timeout with a minute 14 to go in the game. So it looks, at this point, for all intents and purposes, that the three 1-0 teams in the Western Big Six Conference, all playing at home tonight, will be winners again. And you'll have Alleman, Galesburg, and Rock Island all tied for first place at 2-0 tonight if things continue the way they're going. Quincy Moline and the United Township at 0-2. With the Silver Streaks taking on the number one team in the state next week, right here, the Alleman Pioneers coming to town.
Then they'll turn around and play a team in the top 10 in Class 6A in Rock Island at their place the next week.
On the road, yep. And oddly enough, you know, as we talked about very early in the broadcast, and just one of those flukes the way the schedule works out, the Panthers and Moline both at 1-3, at Galesburg and Rock Island at 3-1 as we run a 3rd-and-12 play coming out of the UT timeout. They give to Mixon. He bounces to the outside. Wrapped up by the jersey at the 25 and spun down and out of bounds, stopping the clock at the 108 mark. Still well short of the first down. But two down territory for the Silver Streaks, who want to run time here, leading by two touchdowns. They'll spot him out at the 25. He gains 5 and is a yard short of 300 for the night. 29 carries, 299 yards. I can still do that math, Jim. That's still better than 10 yards a carry.
Well, now that you're a teacher, I would expect that.
I'm an English teacher. You do the math. All right, Silver Streaks going forward on 4th down for the first time tonight. And again, at this point, it's just to run more time off the clock. They would love to get the remaining 8 yards they need for a first down. Isaacson to Mixon. He's over 300. He dives all the way down to the 20-yard line. A couple yards short of the first down. Streaks give it up on downs, but Jonathan Mixon, 5 more yards rushing. He has 304 for the night. and two touchdowns. What a performance. He's over 1,000 yards rushing for the season, and he's going to help the Silver Streaks go to 4-1 on the year as the Panthers take over with 63 seconds remaining in the game and Galesburg leading 28-14 on homecoming night.
Well, here comes Air Panthers. I don't think you see handoffs now.
Down two touchdowns in desperation. Pearson rifles one across the middle of the field, and it's incomplete. Thrown behind the intended receiver across the 30-yard line. Bring up second and 10. Pearson with four straight incompletions now.
And, you know, with Alleman coming in next week, I feel like our kids have really improved so much up front that I feel like we've got a pretty good chance of holding our own with them on both lines of scrimmage. But what really scares me is that used to never say this about Alleman, but their ability to throw the ball. And
that's been one of our defensive weaknesses this year.
Yeah, and we're going to have to shore it up because they will exploit it. They have had a lot of success this year doing that.
Second and 10, Pearson looking sideline. He's looking that direction the whole way. Now he does throw it across the middle of the field. Completes Dominique Parks, who takes it up to the 35-yard line. Yeah. Again, a 15.
Another great tackle, though, by Holloway. He's just a very sure tackler. Came up and wrapped up. He's textbook. You want to see how to tackle somebody, just watch Holloway come up and wrap him up.
Over 100 yards passing now for quarterback Nick Pearson. First reception of the night for Dominique Parks. And the clock rolls with 50 seconds to go. Short shotgun snap taken on a scoop by Pearson, and that cost him everything. And the Streaks maul him back inside the 30, and the Panthers call timeout.
I'll tell you what, his center better go buy him a Big Mac or something, because when the other team's loaded coming across the line, they know you're going to throw, and your center shoots you a ground ball. That's pretty tough. By the time he picked that up, he got smeared.
Goes as a loss of 7, and the Panthers have one timeout remaining. A 2nd and 17 coming up at their own 28.
Say thanks a bunch.
It's been a tough fourth quarter for Nick Pearson, hasn't it? He's been sacked by Hawkins, Valdez, and now that time at least 3 Silver Streaks.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth sack of the night for Galesburg. With 39 seconds remaining, a 28-14 Silver Streaks lead, and the Panthers facing 2nd and 17 coming out of the timeout at their own 28. And this one almost has to be a touchdown if they're going to have any chance of a miracle finish here. In the shotgun, Pearson, another bounce to him. He picks it up.
Oh.
He's under pressure again, and he's wrapped up by Zane Crowell this time back at the 20. And the clock rolls now under 30 seconds to go, and Coach Ron Litchfield says, just let it run. A loss of 6 more.
You want to just say, oh, the humanity. After that one, that quarterback has no chance on those grounders that are coming from center.
Maybe the final play of the game. Up the middle, trying to get to the outside, Pearson to the keeper. And he runs right into Tyson Parks, just short of the 35-yard line. One final hit for good measure on Nick Pearson. And that's the end of the ball game. Silver Streaks are 4-1 on the year. And 2-0 in the Western Big Six Conference. They celebrate homecoming, and they'll get ready for the toughest test of the season by far next week when number one Rock Island Alleman comes to town. 28-14 the final. The postgame show is coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Colder months are soon approaching, and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street, or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
Another one.
Another what?
Every customer that's walked through those doors this morning has left smiling, even laughing.
I am good.
Michelle, XYZ. Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at DickersonPhotography.com.
proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, partly cloudy tonight, widely scattered showers of a low of 45. Still a chance of showers tomorrow morning, otherwise and sunny tomorrow. Windy as well, with gusts around 30 miles per hour, high of 62. Clear tomorrow night, patchy frost possible after midnight with an overnight low of 36. For Sunday, sunny and a high of 62, a low of 38 Sunday night. And Monday, sunny and a high of 68. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 51 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
28-14 the final. Galesburg wins on homecoming night, and already Jim Lee is down with head coach Tim Doherty. Let's find out what the head coach has to say. Jim?
All right, thanks, Brett. I thought I'd better catch you before you head up to the team. Congratulations, going 4-1. It wasn't easy tonight. This UT team came here to play, didn't they?
Oh, I knew they would, and they got a very good ball club. They played, four tough teams, but again, those are our kids fighting through. I got to look at some of those calls. I think they took the wind out of our sails, but take a look at the film. Our kids battled through that, and it's just sometimes you got to do that.
And you came back twice, down 7-0 and 14-7. Big finish to the first half. You're telling the kids, I know that our mantra isn't starting very well right now, but you said you'll fix that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're just key situations in the game. But, again, I think we need to focus on the positives. You know, they came up big on some key plays. And so, credit to the kids. And, again, they got some really good players. And, our kids fought through that.
Yeah, the Vroman kid showed his speed early and had the long touchdown run. For the most part, you bottled him up pretty well the rest of the game. Make any changes or just everybody doing their job?
Well, I thought, we weren't as physical as we need to be on defense in the first half, and I think it was clear in the second half what we're capable of. So, I don't want to take credit away from a kid. I mean, he made some really nice runs, so we'll take a look at the film.
Speaking of nice runs, Jonathan Mixon, we had him for just over 300 yards tonight, and he just never ceases to amaze us.
He probably had 180 called back. So, yeah. I mean, he's a real deal. And the nice, the amazing thing is he turns around and plays defense just as hard as he plays offense. So that's a credit to him.
Yeah. You've been able to utilize the pass play. You haven't used it a lot, but certainly Isaacson and Holloway have something going on there.
yeah. Those are play actions, and Ben had a couple of drops early in the season, but I got all the faith in the world, and Peyton put it right on the money. So it's just part of the deal.
Yeah. Any plans to throw a little more as the season goes along, or I guess as the game dictates, and who knows, maybe next week it'll be an air war with Alleman. It seems crazy to say that, but they like to throw a little too.
4-1, and we're getting criticized for not throwing enough. Well, I can live with that.
Well, if you got Jonathan Mixon in the backfield, you'd be crazy to throw it too much, huh?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
And finally, your defense. We don't want to leave that out. I mean, you had their quarterback really on the ropes the last couple of drives. You had sacks from Valdez and Hawkins. Just really good. Crowell got one. You really good pressure.
Yeah, exactly. And we just played better on defense in the second half, and they made some key plays when we needed to and got us off the field. So, it was missing in the first half. But again, credit the kids.
Congratulations. Thanks for your time, Coach.
You bet. Thank you.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty for stopping by after the game, win or lose. But it's another win for the Silver Streaks, 4-1 on the season, 28-14 over United Township on homecoming. We'll take a break here on the postgame show. When we come back, final statistics, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We'll set up the big matchup next week right here at Van Dyke Field as well. 28-14, Galesburg wins it. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Picture this. Your car's been damaged in an accident. You feel upset. So imagine walking into our office to this.
I'm not sure that shaking my maracas around the office is going to make anyone's car woes any better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Constantly reaching for the remote, not to channel surf, but to turn the volume up and up and up. This is one of the most common signs of hearing loss. You should consider a Starkey hearing aid. The improved digital technology allows you to program settings to make listening easier, no matter where you are. The wireless technology allows your hearing aid to automatically adjust to your TV, phone, and iPod, so you aren't constantly turning the volume up. Call the Knox County Hearing Center for a free hearing evaluation. Knox County Hearing Center on Henderson Street, behind Lim's Ice Cream.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Take a look at the final numbers in this game. The one that matters, of course, is the one on the scoreboard. 28-14, Galesburg beats United Township. Let's start with the Panthers, who finished with 175 rushing yards. Would have been more than that had poor quarterback Nick Pearson not gotten blasted. Four sacks in the fourth quarter, five for the game. He ended up losing 6-9, 7-6 on those four tackles for loss. And so that ended up negating some of what Cody Vroman had done on the ground tonight. 27 carries for 190 yards and a touchdown, a 37-yard touchdown that was the first of the game for the Panthers. As a team, they finished 36 of 175. That's because Nick Pearson had six carries for minus 23 on those five sacks in the game. Clayton Kelly had a couple of runs for 7 yards, and Alonzo Ochoa had one carry earlier for just a yard. Pearson in the game, 10 of 19 passing, including a touchdown pass, 101 yards through the air. Most of those to Cody Vroman, did just about everything tonight. Four catches for 63 yards. He also had a 16-yard touchdown reception. Clayton Kelly had two catches for 12 yards. Dominique Parks had one reception for 15 yards. And Zach Harris had a 9-yard catch tonight. For the Silver Streak, one other number to pass along. United Township finishes six penalties for 53 yards. And for the game on third down, let's see, it looks like they didn't add this up. 2 for 6, 4 for 9, 4 for 13 on third downs tonight, 0 for 2 on fourth downs. And how about the Silver Streaks defense? Out of that 4 for 13, they held the Panthers to 0 for 4 on third down in the fourth quarter when it really mattered. Now for the Silver Streaks. Well, you got to start with Jonathan Mixon. I mean, when a guy rushes for over 300 yards in the season, in the game, rather, how do you not start with him? Shoot, he carried the ball 30 times for crying out loud. That's an effort in and of itself. And then to pick up 304 yards in the process as well. Two rushing touchdowns, one for 73 yards, and another one for 5 yards. That was the final score in the first half for the Silver Streaks that put him up at halftime 21-14. 30 carries for 304 yards tonight for Jonathan Mixon. Trevon Diggins, 7 carries, 92 yards. Pretty good night there, too. And Ben Holloway, 6 carries for 36 yards. Peyton Isaacson had a quarterback sneak for a touchdown and also another one for a third down. Other than that, he was sacked a couple of times. 4 carries for minus 10 for Peyton Isaacson. 47 plays on the ground tonight for the Silver Streaks for 422 yards of rushing offense and 3 touchdowns. Peyton Isaacson, 2 for 3 passing for 49 yards and a touchdown. That went, in fact, both catches of the night went to Ben Holloway for those 49 yards. The discouraging part tonight was 10 penalties against the Silver Streaks for 100 yards, and some of those pretty major as well. They had two big ones on a Panther drive there in the fourth quarter that kept it going as they were trying to get back into the game down by 2 touchdowns. Silver Streaks ended up stopping the drive at the 9-yard line, but those two big penalties kept that drive alive. So the Silver Streaks had as many major penalties tonight as we've seen them have all season long, and certainly as many in a game as they have had all night long as well. So that's another area for the coaching staff to address. Galesburg has now beaten United Township 5 of the last 6 times. Their only loss in that, of course, was the game last year, 53-20, which is the one Coach Tim Doherty put on the chalkboard, or not on the chalkboard, but on the whiteboard in the locker room yesterday during the team's final discussion before heading into today, and clearly used that as a major motivating factor here tonight. Galesburg wins it 28-14. They celebrate homecoming, and they're 4-1 in the season. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game comes up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, by Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, and by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
Hello, love.
Love, what's with the accent?
I'm trying to sound smart, I is.
Yeah, jolly good. But why not just head to McDonald's and grab a Daily Double?
Daily Double, you say?
Yeah, two beef patties, cheese, crispy lettuce, mayo, juicy tomato.
Tomato?
All for just $1.99 on the extra value menu. So you won't just sound smart, you'll actually be smart.
Huh, brilliant.
I tip my tiny hat to you.
And back to you, my dear.
And back to you.
The Daily Double Sandwich, now on McDonald's extra value menu. The simple joy of being extra smart. Price and participation may vary.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Celebration at Van Dyke Field with the Silver Streaks win on homecoming 28-14 over United Township. Big picture, 2-0 in the Western Big Six now, and 4-1 overall. One more victory in the final four games, and the Streaks are playoff eligible. Now, if you look at who we're playing in the final four games, and there's absolutely no guarantee in those final four games. It's not going to be easy by any measure, and it starts next week with Alleman coming to town. So, yeah, but to be at this point, yeah, at this juncture, this is terrific.
You really couldn't ask for more than to be where we are right now. But, yeah, you've got the real tough part of your schedule coming up with next week's the hardest game of the year. There's no question. These Alleman Pioneers are even better than I think a lot of us thought they were going to be this year.
Yep.
And it'll be all we can do nobody's given them a game yet. Let's be the first one to at least go out there and give them a battle. And I'm sure if anybody can, the coaching staff with Tim Doherty and company will have a good game plan, and we'll see if we can't block and tackle and execute and make it a game next week.
Well, they're certainly not going to concede anything, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, well, and they shouldn't have to, because they've been, you know, they've been the underdog all year up until tonight.
Yep.
And this United Township team was, I thought they were a little better than I thought they would be. For a team that's struggled as much as they have, I've seen a lot worse teams, and they've got some potential. A little thin on depth, I think, still not a bad football team, but we hurt ourselves tonight a lot with penalties and some turnovers too. That you get rid of even half of those, and this game isn't that close. So Quincy, and then Richwoods as well. So we've got a tough four to finish off with, but to be 4-1 right now, you're playoff eligible at 5, getting that fifth win, and hopefully 6 or 7 would be great.
Yes.
You get 6 and you're definitely in. But right now, the only job is to get to number 5 and make a name for ourselves next week and upset the top-rated team in the state, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, as Coach Tim Doherty says, 24-hour rule.
Yep.
We'll celebrate this one for a day, then think about Alleman after that, I guess. So the only order of business left are Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Jim?
This is one of those games you could look around and make a number of players your crunch time player. I don't know that there was a specific point in this one. A lot of players contributed on both sides of the ball.
Sure did.
It's a tough one to pick out, but I think for several instances and on both sides of the ball, we're going to go with a sophomore tonight. Ben Holloway has just really added a lot to this team both ways, running the football and taking a little bit of the pressure off of Mixon and Diggins. Obviously, he's our number one pass receiver now, too. Caught a couple of big balls tonight. One down here that set up the score just before halftime, and then he catches the touchdown pass in the second half on the south end zone. And plus, I was so impressed with the young man's tackling. He just, as I said, he comes up, he sticks his helmet between your knees and uses both arms and wraps up just like you would show somebody learning the game of football for the first time. Unusually solid, polished young player for being a sophomore, and he's been a great contributor to the streak's success, and sure was tonight.
Ben Holloway, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We will go ahead and tell you that Alleman Quincy game did go final. Pioneers winning at 28-7, so they're 5-0 coming down here to Van Dyke Field next week. And it looks like it is now a final. Rock Island ends up running away from Moline, 34-9, ends up being the final. So about midway through the third quarter, that was a game, but Rock Island ends up putting that one away. So they're 2-0 in the Western Big Six, and they are 4-1 overall now after kind of a slow start. Geneseo blows out Dixon 56-20. Looks like Macomb beat Sherrard 19-7. So they remain undefeated on the year. And one of the games we were really watching, because we knew this would be a battle, Illini West and Rock Ridge. If I am reading this right, Illini West wins it 32-22.
Wow.
On the road.
I didn't think they could get them up there at Rock Ridge.
And Anawan Weathersfield, no surprise, beats West Prairie 40-0.
Yeah, that was one of those we figured would not be too close. I saw one of the Rock Island sent a scout down here. They play UT next week, and then, of course, us the week after, and he was leaving the press box. And I said, well, what are you taking home? He said, well, we probably need to tackle number 23. I said, man, you're shrewd.
I'm glad they sent him down here just to,
yeah.
to get that.
He said, that's a lot easier said than done, though, I'm sure.
Monmouth-Roseville defeats Pittsfield-Griggsville-Perry tonight, 34-14.
Their homecoming a happy one.
And some games we mentioned earlier. Mercer County shut out Mid-County 62-0. North Fulton blanked BPC Avon 40-0. Farmington, a big win at Havana, 38-12. Peoria Heights with a terrific win for them as well, 27-20 at Lewistown. And I think that's probably Beardstown over Rushville Industry, 21-15. And that looks like the other scores. And then, Jim, you mentioned earlier the Richwood's win over
Peoria Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. So they are now, wait a minute, they're 3-2 now.
Right. That really was a must-win for Richwood's. Notre Dame's getting better all the time, though. We'll be in their conference next year, and they'll have a brand-new stadium next year. So a lot of things, a lot of momentum for those Peoria Notre Dame. You know, for a long time, Quincy Notre Dame's got a lot of attention, but Peoria not so much, but the tide is turning there a little bit.
And Peoria Central plays Quincy Notre Dame tonight. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Galesburg fan, you got to be rooting for Central to win that one, because the more games they win, obviously, the more playoff points come Galesburg's way. But Galesburg has to take care of business first. They got to get that fifth win, but they're in great position right now. At 4-1 on the season, they win on homecoming 28-14 over United Township, and the sophomores make it a sweep 22-13 as well over the Panthers. Jim, pleasure as always. See you back here next week.
Very good. Look forward to it.
And again, the final 28-14, Galesburg wins it. For Brian Prescott at the downtown studios, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night on a happy homecoming from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.